This is the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Conservatives expressed anger in private as administration officials said George W. Bush now estimates that the new Medicare overhaul law will cost a third more than projected when Congress passed the legislation last year. The president's budget to be released Monday will also project a federal deficit this year of about $520 billion, congressional aides said. That would far exceed this year's $375 billion, the highest ever in dollar terms. Many conservatives say privately they were owed an explanation as to why the White House did not provide them with the figures before they voted. Conservatives said they felt browbeaten into backing the legislation, which passed the House in November by 5 votes after leaders held the roll call open nearly 3 hours while nailing down support. Parting company with many of his fellow Republicans, Senator John McCain said Thursday he wants an independent commission to take a sweeping look at recent intelligence failures. The White House has dismissed the proposal, saying the CIA is committed to reviewing the intelligence behind claims that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. The Bush administration also argues that the weapons search is not yet complete. In an interview with the Associated Press, McCain says he believes the public needs an assessment that won't be clouded by partisan division. The Arizona senator said he is seeking a full-scale look not only at apparently botched intelligence on Iraq's weapons capabilities, but also flawed estimations of Iraq, North Korea, and Libya, and the faulty assessments from other Western intelligence sources. Connecticut Governor John G. Rowland acquired thousands of dollars worth of stock in a company whose owner later benefited from a state project to move a community college, two newspapers reported Thursday. The college relocation is one of several cases federal investigators are reviewing in their corruption probe of Rowland's administration, the Hartford Courant and New York Times reported. Rowland's personal financial records have been subpoenaed, and the legislative committee is deciding whether the Republican governor should be impeached. More news after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They are full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
Firefighters in Shawnee, Oklahoma, peered into a crystal ball and found the cause for a sofa fire. Once the couch was extinguished, a firefighter reached into a hole burnt into the sofa and found a glass gazing ball. Soon, sunlight shining through the ball burned 2 holes in the legs of his pants. They then placed the ball on the grass, and within 30 seconds, the ground was smoking. They believe the ball was taken off a table and placed on the couch by the homeowner's grandchildren, which started the first fire. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I have wonderful news for you. George W.'s latest tax cuts are working. They're now being credited with having produced a bonanza of consumer buying in the recent holiday season. What? You say you didn't get enough of a tax cut even to notice it, much less enjoy a bonanza of consumerism? You say that job losses and low wages actually force your family to cut back on holiday spending? You say that sales clerks at stores where you shop were complaining about slow and low sales? Well, bucko, that's because you don't shop at the right places. While the overall merchant scene was pretty grinchy this season, with such outfits as Walmart and Target showing disappointing results, things were a lot merrier at your high-end stores. Neiman Marcus, Tiffany, and Saks Fifth Avenue were among the purveyors of luxury goods that enjoyed booming sales to the Cadillac and Hummer crowd. And why not, dears? After all, this is the crowd that took the bulk of Bush's tax giveaways. While a typical family might have gotten a $600 tax cut if they were lucky, the millionaire families averaged $93,000 each in cuts. That'll buy a lot of baubles and gewgaws. This is why the CEO of Neiman Marcus exulted that holiday shoppers in his swank stores, quote, prove that luxury is alive. Indeed, sales of such stocking stuffers as $5,000 to $10,000 watches were up 16% this season over last. There were similar jumps in diamonds, gold, and cashmere goods, and Neiman reported that sales of Chanel, Prada, and Gucci handbags were absolutely miraculous. Actually, there's nothing miraculous about it. When the president takes cold cash out of the public treasury and hands it to the high rollers, they do what the high rollers do. Roll out the Escalade and go to Neiman's. This is Jim Hightower saying, the holiday shopping results offer a perfect picture of Bush's policies. The rich get richer and everybody else cuts back.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably a few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years on them.
No, I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't think of
that. Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. This is Tom Hartman broadcasting live coast to coast, border to border on the IE America Radio Network. Glad to be back with you. It is Friday. Shabbat Shalom. Happy Friday, TGIF. Whatever, happy weekend, whatever it may be in your particular worldview. We've got a good selection of interesting news here in our first hour. Bernie Sanders, of course, will be with us in our second hour. Congressman, the only independent member of the House of Representatives, America's Congressman Bernie Sanders. In our third hour, we're going to have Nancy Skinner on for a short while. Nancy is the one of the candidates in the Democratic primary for the United States Senate in Chicago. And she's having some very interesting experiences out there in the world of the political wonderland of America. So we'll share that with you. But today, day 860 in the search for Osama bin Laden. I've got an Osama update coming for you here fairly soon. Day 839 in the search for the anthrax killer. Have we heard anything about this? Have you heard one word about the search for the anthrax killer, the guy that was probably single-handedly responsible for the passage of the Patriot Act? You'll recall that the anthrax arrived coincidentally in the offices of the two Senate Democrats who controlled the Senate and controlled the bill, the Patriot Act. Pat Leahy, who is chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, who could have prevented that bill from going out to the floor of the Senate for debate and discussion and vote. And Tom Daschle, who was the leader of the Senate Democrats at the time. So this was after Jim Jeffords had left the party over the No Child Left Behind bill. And by coincidence, they're the ones who got the anthrax. And just as the Patriot Act came up for consideration. Isn't that interesting? They had to leave their offices. They didn't have access to all the paperwork, all the letters that people had written opposing it, so they couldn't even go near them because they might be contaminated. But anyway, where is this guy who tried to kill our two Democratic senators? Who knows? Hey, John Ashcroft. John, hello. Who's the anthrax killer? Why aren't you looking for him? Day 253 in the search for weapons of mass destruction, and day 199 in the search for the man in the White House who committed treason, that traitor who outed a CIA agent who was involved in counterterrorism, no less. Joe Wilson's wife, as Joe Wilson said...
At the end of the day, it's of keen interest to me to see whether or not we can get Karl Rove frog marks out of the White House in handcuffs.
Yeah, apparently he thinks he knows for sure who's responsible for that deal. So, anyhow, that's our update for the moment, our timeline, as it were. Got an email here from Victor. Not sure where Victor is. Saying, I'm going to settle the controversy about George W. Bush being a deserter or AWOL from the Texas National Guard once and for all. Now, this guy apparently has the inside scoop, as it were. He says, I was a military technician with the United States Army Reserve. Now, keep in mind, George W. was in the reserves, so the rules apparently are a little different than they are for the regular Army. He says, I was a military technician with the United States Army Reserve for 21 years, so I know exactly what I'm talking about. George Bush was neither AWOL nor a deserter. He fell into a category called unsatisfactory participant in accordance with the provisions of Army Regulations 135-91. And he says, during my 21 years as military technician, I'm assuming that's attached to some sort of legal division, because he says, I processed many, hundreds of unsatisfactory participants, quote-unquote, under the provisions of the above-mentioned regulations, including officers. So I consider myself qualified in this subject matter. I hope the information helps. And here's the, in the U.S. Army Reserve, in this section 135-91, 4-14, unexcused absence from unit training assemblies, unsatisfactory participation. The definition, a soldier is an unsatisfactory participant, according to paragraph 4-15, when 9 or more unexcused absences from scheduled inactive duty training occur during a one-year period. And certainly being gone for nearly a year during a one-year period would fall within that. He says the commander determines whether the soldier has potential for useful service under mobilization. If he does have potential, then he is, we're now at a section 6-2, he is now reassigned, and the commander may also consider a grade reduction. In other words, Lieutenant Bush should have been busted down to private. Secondly, if the commander determines the soldier has no potential for useful service under mobilization, the soldier will be processed for discharge from the reserve of the armor status per AR 135-178, Chapter 13. So it looks that because George W. was not part of the regular Army, he was neither AWOL nor a deserter. He was an unsatisfactory participant, the category that the Army Reserve uses. We'll see. The debate will no longer continue. But Victor seems to know what he's talking about. It's always interesting to have news of this sort. By the way, it being Friday, if you want to call on any topic, feel free. Our number is 1-800-825-5937, which on your keypad translates into 1-800-TALK-YES. Mike Toth, who puts up our archives. By the way, you can find archives of this program going all the way back to early next year, last year. And the time machine, all the way back to early last year. By going to TomHartmann.com and clicking on Archives. Of course, if you go to TomHartmann.com and click on Listen Live, you can listen live to the show. Those of you who are listening on the web already know that. Those of you who are listening to radio stations, that's how you can get the web stream if you're out of town or something. And also you can get to our chat room, where you will find one of the most erudite discussions going on the Internet with a group of just fabulous people. And a conversation that I actually read during the breaks and very often learn a great deal from. Anyhow, Mike Toth, who puts together our archives, and a marvelous job he has done, listening with no doubt mind-numbing periods of time to hours and hours and hours of this program and excerpting out the juicy parts. He says, a final thought. He says, Tom, I know you've mentioned this before, and I have as well. He says, the October surprise announcing the capture of Osama. Now, of course, the history of October surprise. Richard Nixon
when Eisenhower had his heart attack in the last year of the Eisenhower administration, Nixon was more or less in charge, just like George H.W. Bush was largely in charge of the Reagan White House during the last 2 years of Reagan's last term, because he was already fairly senile in his Alzheimer's. And Nixon was relatively in charge the last year of the Eisenhower administration. This is 1959. And that was the year that Cuba went, Batista fell to Castro. And at first we thought Castro was a good guy, but Nixon screwed it up. And Castro came to us and said, give us foreign aid, help us out. And Nixon said, no, we won't do that. So Castro said, okay, cool. And he stopped declaring himself a Democrat, started declaring himself a communist, and got foreign aid from the Soviets, who were more than happy to have a sphere of influence here. And, and the whole thing of you've got missiles in Turkey, which are, right on our doorstep, we'll put missiles in Cuba and blah, 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 blah. So anyhow, Richard Nixon, knowing that he was going to face Jack Kennedy in the election, came up with an October surprise, and that was he was going to invade Cuba in October of 1960, a month before the election, to rally around the Americans. And it would have worked. It was called Operation Zapata, named after the Zapata Oil Company, which was providing intelligence. Zapata Oil Company was a CIA front in Texas, and that had never found any oil, but somehow made a lot of money, and whose president went on to become the director of the Central Intelligence Agency. Of course, I'm talking about George Herbert Walker Bush. And Operation Zapata was the name of the Bay of Pigs invasion. That was the official name. And the two ships that took the guys down there were the Houston and the Barbara J. And this was the October surprise that Richard Nixon had planned for 1960. And he wasn't able to pull it off because there was a tropical storm in October of 60. There was some sort of weather problem that prevented it from happening. And so Jack Kennedy inherited this operation. And the rest is history, of course. And then George Herbert, and then when Reagan was running against Jimmy Carter, of course, George Herbert Walker Bush went over to Paris, negotiated with the Iranians to hold the hostages until the moment that Reagan was inaugurated. And in exchange for that, we would sell them missiles and spare parts for the American weaponry that they had inherited from the Shah. And, of course, that October surprise was very effective. Nobody thought that Reagan was going to win 6 months, 8 months, 9 months before the election, because Jimmy Carter was very popular. But as the hostage crisis dragged on and dragged on and dragged on, and Carter couldn't figure out why, his diplomatic efforts were being ignored, his threats were being ignored, everything was being ignored, because the Iranians knew that they had a deal with Reagan and Bush. And that, of course, came to be known as the Iran-Contra scandal. But that was the October surprise of of that first election with Reagan and Bush. And so, the Bush family has a long history of October surprises. George Bush Sr. under, working with Richard Nixon in 1960, working with the Iranians in the Ronald Reagan election. And so the question has been, what will the October surprise be in 2004? And, we had speculated at various times that it would be finding Osama bin Laden, that it would be declaring war on Syria or provoking Syria or, getting a proxy like Israel to provoke Syria so that we could have another war. Now, it's looking increasingly like some of their options are being cut off. The ability to provoke a war, for example, with Syria. Maybe if they could provoke it, like April Gillespie telling Saddam Hussein, we don't care if you go after Kuwait, go ahead and do it. And then he does it, and then, of course, we leap in there, and suddenly George Herbert Walker Bush is incredibly popular in the middle of a terrible recession. What a surprise. But anyhow, Mike Toth brings up an interesting point. He says, the Democrats had better prepare for this. He says, what if not only they capture Osama, but he has weapons of mass destruction in his camel saddlebags, a photo of Bill Clinton in his wallet, and a voter ID that he's registered as a Democrat. What will we do? Well, I know Mike means it as a rhetorical question, but check out this. The Associated Press, Stephen Graham wrote this article. It's all over the media, newspapers all over the country. U.S. military sure of catching bin Laden. The U.S. military is sure it will catch Osama bin Laden this year, perhaps within months, maybe October. A spokesman declared Thursday, but Pakistan said it would not allow American troops to cross the border in search of the al-Qaeda leader. Yeah, right. This is going to be a real interesting one, complicating the election, as it were. We'll see how this plays out. I'll give you a little more on this when we come back from the break. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a
more tissues.
Sleep like a
cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh. So you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. But don't take my word for it. Call us to get a free sampler. Yes, you heard me right, a free sampler. Two full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
Your right to vote. It's something that most Americans take for granted. But today, serious questions are being asked about how we vote. Machines are used to process 98% of the votes in U.S. elections, and that includes absentee ballots. How do we know if our votes are being counted correctly? Experts say we don't know, that machines conceal the voting process, that whoever controls the machines controls the election. What is the government doing to protect your right to vote? There is no federal agency that regulates or monitors the voting machine industry. There are no restrictions on who can make, sell, or service voting equipment. They don't even have to be U.S. citizens. And there are no mandatory federal standards for voting equipment. Even if there were, experts say that voting machines can be easily rigged and impossible to safeguard. I'm Lynn Landis. I'm an investigative journalist. Learn more about this issue at my website, ecotalk.org. That's ecotalk.org.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, to talk to the animals. You don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Proved in
sailboat. Yeah, country love.
The Iraqi regime is able to produce, buy, or steal an amount of highly enriched uranium a little larger than a single softball. It could have a nuclear weapon in less than a year.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here. Truth in Broadcasting. The pill that will help you escape the matrix of the madness of the conservatives. Yes, indeed, folks. The U.S. military sure of catching bin Laden. The plot thickens here. Yesterday, of course, was the deadliest, one of the deadliest days for American forces in Afghanistan, says Stephen Graham, AP writer for this article, U.S. military sure of catching bin Laden. Seven soldiers were killed. And we're getting our daily casualty counts from Iraq. Afghanistan seems to have fallen off the... we've only got a couple thousand people there. Seven soldiers were killed when a weapons cache exploded southwest of the capital. Three other American soldiers were wounded, and another one is missing after the blast, the U.S. Central Command said. U.S. military spokesman Lieutenant Colonel Brian Hilferty's prediction. He's the guy who said, this is going to happen. We're going to get this guy. We're going to get bin Laden, just like we got Saddam. It came as the Army is readying a spring offensive. Boy, shades of Vietnam phraseology. Anyhow, a spring offensive against Taliban and Al-Qaeda holdouts. A U.S. official hinted Wednesday that the offensive might extend into Pakistan. Now, saying this in the press for the world to read has got Pakistan mighty nervous. Because they are protecting bin Laden. I mean, you know, by default, by not going after him. And there, you know, Pakistan is an Islamic republic. And bin Laden has succeeded because we took his bait. And he attacked us and he said, I dare you to respond to me as if I was some sort of, you know, Lex Luthor, super villain, arch criminal, yes, the incredible, great, powerful guy, I'm the all-powerful Oz, come after me, make it a war, instead of the way that the Germans responded and the Italians responded to the Red Brigade, the Greeks responded to November 17, the British responded to the IRA, the Spanish responded to the Basque Liberation Front. Instead of saying, these guys are criminals, let's send the police after them, he said, no, please, send your army. And we did, and you know, of course, and George said it's a crusade, and all of a sudden the entire Islamic world is behind Osama. They're like, yes. Anyhow, Pakistani Brigadier General Javed Akhil Chima says Pakistani policies do not allow American troops to operate in Pakistan. On the other hand, Hilferty says, we've had a variety of intelligence, and we're sure we're going to catch Osama bin Laden and Mullah Omar this year. And earlier in the week, the American commander of the coalition forces in Afghanistan, Lieutenant General David Barno, told the BBC that he also expects bin Laden to be brought to justice by year's end. Could it be? Is it possible? Time will tell, but this... given that we have the most poll-driven administration in the White House right now in the history of the United States, and things are turning sour with David Kaye's report, and it's becoming increasingly obvious that it wasn't a failure of the CIA, that these guys cooked the books and lied to you and me and to the parents of the people of the young men and women who have died in Iraq. They've got to divert our attention. They've got to point us somewhere else. And Osama bin Laden, of course, is not only a reasonable place to point us, but he's actually the one who should have been the target all along. This is Tom Hartman discussing solutions and not false promises. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
A vast section of Lake Erie has run very short on oxygen, and that's bad news for the fish that live there. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. For the past several summers, the cold bottom water in the center of Lake Erie has had so little oxygen that people refer to it as a dead zone. The lack of oxygen drives out fish and other aquatic animals. Scientists say part of the reason this has happened in Lake Erie has to do with some of its unique qualities. But they say the problems in Lake Erie should also serve as a warning sign for the other Great Lakes. Jeffrey Reuter directs the Ohio Sea Grant Program in the Stone Laboratory at Ohio State University. Reuter says a dead zone can occur when urban wastewater and fertilizer from farm fields carry too much phosphorus into the water. The phosphorus produces huge blooms of algae, and that starts a process that robs the cold bottom waters of oxygen during the summer. Reuter says the Lake Erie watershed is different from those around the other Great Lakes, and that means it receives more sediment and more phosphorus.
The watershed around the other Great Lakes are all dominated by forest ecosystems. The watershed around Lake Erie is dominated by an agricultural and an urban ecosystem. And we also receive more sediment than the other Great Lakes, and much of that sediment comes in with agricultural fertilizers attached.
Lake Erie is the shallowest of the Great Lakes, and so it's more vulnerable to the dead zone conditions. But Reuter says other conditions in Lake Erie contribute to this problem, and they are common around the Great Lakes Basin. They include rising temperatures, falling lake levels, and invasive species such as zebra mussels. Reuter is concerned that Lake Erie is showing symptoms of problems that have yet to develop in the other Great Lakes. He hopes the U.S. and Canada will invest in more research to avoid them. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time.
If we know Saddam Hussein has dangerous weapons today,
I left my
and we do,
home in Georgia,
does it make any sense for the world to wait to confront him as he grows even stronger and develops even more dangerous weapons?
Well, apparently it didn't. and the worldview of Mr. Bush. Welcome back. It's 26 minutes before the hour, 34 past. This is Tom Hartman, and we are live and on the air, and so also is Brian in New Hampshire. Brian, thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. You are on the air.
Hi, Tom. First of all, I'd like to say I have an answer what the Democrats could easily say to if Bin Laden is captured, you know, carting around with his dialysis machine and that kind of thing. He's nearly helpless as it is already.
But what happens if he's carrying a card indicating that he's a registered Democrat?
No. But I would say that just the simple answer is that the rest of al-Qaeda is, and they've grown by legions ever since this Iraq war took place in March of this year. Say that the threat remains, and we need our forces have been wasted in Iraq, in secular Iraq. Saddam was no angel, but he was a secular enemy, and he remained so even as he was fighting a guerrilla war against the U.S. He told the Ba'ath Party not to collaborate with any foreign Islamist fighters. The remains that we need to fight on in Pakistan, Uzbekistan, Yemen, Saudi Arabia, and especially the madrasas that teach the hate. That's the real weapon of mass destruction. When you teach a human being hate, we can find weapons of mass destruction anywhere.
And that, as crazy and wacky and far out as he is, Richard Perle correctly identified that as being one of the major, as one of our major enemies coming out of Saudi Arabia in his new book, The New Axis of Evil, or whatever the title
and
of
also,
book is.
And also, Tom, there's the vast, there's also the vast island archipelago nations of the Philippines and Indonesia. That's the largest Islamic populated nation on earth. That where there is Islamic, is Al Qaeda and allied cells of theirs held out everywhere in islands everywhere. Here. We're going to need a draft to have the vast numbers of troops to flush them out anyways.
Well, and then they're growing like weeds. You're absolutely right, Brian.
Yeah.
It's all wasted in Iraq, and not only that, the most powerful weapon against Islam, against that form of Islam. And let's keep in mind that form of Islam, that extremist, is not Islam, exactly.
Yeah.
Any more than Jerry Falwell is not Christianity. You know,
oh,
Jerry
God
Falwell.
Help us if he ever
sitting around saying, the 9/11 was the result of God being upset with homosexuality. The true, what we really need to do is just as Christianity went through a modernization, as it were, as a result of the Reformation and the Enlightenment and the. Where Martin Luther banged the thing on, what was it called?
The
Reformation?
Yeah, the 59 or something canons or something against the Catholic Church at
the
time.
But there's a name for it. The Protestant Reformation, that's what it was called.
As
a result of that, Judaism went through a Reformation in 72.
And then a Catholic Reformation did follow,
yeah. Yeah, the Catholics have been through several, actually, over the years. Islam, by and large, much of Islam has not yet gone through that reformation.
In Pakistan, for example, that they're a very secular people. They don't abide by. Most of them hate those extremists up in the northwest provinces and in Baluchistan, where Bin Laden is supposed to be, and the Saudi foreign fighters. And they elected Benazir Bhutto, a woman without a veil, to be their president for a number of years in the 1990s. This is Pervez Musharraf is a follower of Kemal Ataturk. He's a Kemalist. He wants to modernize his nation, and he doesn't want to just do it for nuclear war against India and all this. He's a very sane man, but they have tried to kill him two or three times, and maybe U.S. forces would be the only forces he can trust anymore. I don't know.
Yes, but my point is, I agree with you, Brian. I absolutely agree with you, and I appreciate I appreciate your call. But my point is that the most powerful weapon we have in our arsenal is not our military. It is education. It is selectively supporting those elements of Islam to do the exact same thing that the Saudis are doing. The Saudis are supporting the right-wing wackos within Islam and promoting them through the madrasas and giving them money and sending them out and setting up, you know, Red Cross type facilities and schools and doing all kinds of wonderful social work. We need to be doing the same thing with the moderate elements, and we could do it for 1/1,000th of the amount of money that we are spending on the military. Our entire national foreign aid budget, the one that for years and years the Republicans have screamed about, how can we spend all this foreign aid money, is $10 billion. We have spent over $150 billion so far in Iraq. We could have spent instead a fraction of our foreign aid budget and accomplished the opposite, but the same thing that the Saudis have been doing. And you know, spot on, good. You've identified some really important problems there, Brian, and I appreciate it. Thank you again for the call. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Carol in Georgia's on the line. Hey, Carol, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, Tom. I think you were talking about Osama this morning, and the statement there, the word they used was sure to find him, maybe this summer. I just wanted to relate to you something I find rather interesting. My son has been in the military for 17 years. He was visiting me for the last 2 weeks. He just left last Sunday. And we got to talking about why in the hell did they leave Afghanistan in the first place to attack a country that I don't think was an imminent threat.
Yeah.
And he said, Mother, first of all, you got to remember, the government knows a lot more about that situation than you do. And I said, yes, and they should. He said, they would not have left unless they already knew either Osama was dead or they had him.
Yeah, they knew where he was, and they can just get him whenever they want
uh-huh.
to. Yeah, I don't disagree.
You know, it kind of flipped me out when he said that. He said the military simply does not work that way. They would not have walked away from the orders unless they felt everything was under control.
Yeah, it makes absolute sense. I mean, you know, it sounds like conspiracy theory stuff, but you know,
know
it's also
does.
Good military it's logic.
Yes, and I agree with you. It's been in the back of my mind for quite a while that wouldn't it be the perfect timing to choose to announce we found this guy mid-October?
Yep. And or even
because
as early as September.
All the news would be buried with that.
Oh yeah.
Till after November.
Yeah, and Bush would ride a landslide. He'd ride a tidal wave into office. The administration has a history of doing this. The last two major terrorist suspects that they've brought in, they had in their back pocket for 2 weeks and 4 weeks respectively, and in each case they brought them out just as major scandals involving, in both cases, Dick Cheney, coincidentally,
mm-hmm.
were breaking in the press, and bumped those off the front pages, and they died out, and you know, never to be seen again. Although the investigations are continuing, so
mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right. Carol, thank you for the call. I appreciate your sharing that insight with us. I think it's an important one. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, Joseph on the line from Las Vegas. Hey, Joseph, are you listening to us on KLAV there?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
I heard something this morning. I'm a frequent viewer of C-SPAN.
Mm-hmm.
And they were taking some kind of a poll where Republicans on one line and then others on the other line. And in Italian, there's an expression called adestadura. Adestadura is somebody, really translated, it's kind of like a hardhead,
mm-hmm.
people that can't see the forest for the trees.
Right.
And these Republicans were calling in, and they were livid at Bush's deficit. That it's going even beyond what he predicted.
Yeah.
And the moderator asked, well, you know, what will you do in November? And they said, oh, well, you know, we'll just keep writing letters and making phone calls, but I couldn't vote for anybody but Bush.
Yeah.
And I find that astounding. I mean, you know, the amount of ignorance displayed is overwhelming.
Well,
I mean, they're going to support this guy no matter what. But
it's
that
our team.
That's why I called.
You know,
comment on that later.
Yeah.
If you wish.
Well, you know, I agree with you, Joseph. And there, you know, you see this on both sides. There is it's an our team mentality. You see it in sports too. I mean, you know, it's a team isn't doing well, and people even seem to rally behind them even more. But just real quickly, I'll let you continue with your point in just a second here. But just let me make this point in today's newspapers. The New York Times News Service, I'm not sure when they ran this, perhaps yesterday or maybe this morning, was picked up here in Vermont by the local paper today. Medicare drug estimates soared. The Bush administration said yesterday that the new Medicare drug benefit would cost at least $530 billion, or one-third more than the price tag used when Congress passed the legislation 2 months ago. And this has got conservatives in the House freaked out. Representative Jeb Hensarling of Texas says, "No one vote has caused me more anguish in my short political career. I hope this will embolden conservatives and others to control spending." They're freaked because it turns out that not only did the White House lie to us about Iraq, they lied to their own people in Congress about the cost of the Medicare bill. And it's just, you know, it's...
Yeah, and who is it benefiting? It's benefiting the rich and the powerful.
The drug companies. In fact, here we've got now Billy Towson, who was the chief architect of this bill, and he's now going to take a job with PhRMA, the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturing Association, for over $1 million a year.
I couldn't believe it.
Over $1 million a year. He's going to resign. He's going to resign early from his seat in order to take this money, this payoff, for writing this Medicaid bill that rips off America's seniors and hands the money to the group that he's now going to work for.
Yeah. Well, see, that should be illegal, and he should be prosecuted.
I agree.
Now, on to my question.
Okay.
The other day you made a statement that Kerry, in his remarks, citing the Benedict Arnold companies that are moving offshore and taking advantage of low wages. And he said, "I will give tax credits to companies that stay here and employ people here."
Right.
And you made a remark, well, you know, it's the same old thing, you know, rewarding them for doing what they should be doing anyway. And you said you would do it differently. And then you cut off and said, "I'll do it after the break." And I never did hear your solution to that problem.
Oh,
how
I'm sorry.
How did you do that?
Yeah, I think WLAV is, or KLAV is not carrying all 3 hours of our program.
No,
too.
It only carries an hour, and then, you know, it's cut off.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll hold up the phone and thank you. I'll listen to your remark. Oh, no, I can't listen off the air. I got to listen now, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. Stay on the line. I'll tell you about it.
Right.
Historically, the way that tariffs have worked, and the first tariffs that went into effect in the United States went into effect in 1785, 2 years before the Constitution was even ratified, and were pushed through by Tench Cox, an American small businessman who wanted to protect American domestic industries. And we have had tariffs in the United States from then up until we signed GATT, WTO, and NAFTA. And saw the results that what's his name, Ross Perot
predicted. Devastating.
Yeah, absolutely devastating. And the theory behind tariffs, there's three reasons and ways that tariffs have historically been put in place. Number one, to simply fund government. Our federal government, before the income tax came along, was largely funded by tariffs.
Right.
That's not necessarily the best way to fund government, but that's how we did it in the beginning. Number two, to punish somebody who's trading unfairly with us, which we've done on and off many, many times over the last 227 years. And number three, and the most rational and logical and appropriate use of tariffs, and the justification for the vast majority of tariffs, and there's a huge collection, if you can find, actually, we still have tariffs on all sorts of imported items, even right now, even with GATT and NAFTA. They're,
right.
they're much, much smaller than they used to be. But in any case, the rationale behind a tariff is, for example, if we made shoes in the United States, we don't anymore. But if we made shoes, we haven't since Clinton signed NAFTA and GATT. But if we made shoes in the United States and it costs a dollar's worth of labor to go into a pair of shoes, and they can make that same shoe in Malaysia and there's only 10 cents worth of labor in it, then we put a 90 cent tariff on that shoe. See, the rationale is you never say no in business. And this is just a great lesson in business anyway, but, you know, in government as well. You never say no. You just say, here's what it'll cost you. So instead of saying, no, you can't take that job to India, you say, well, let's stay with the shoes for just a second. So instead of saying, no, you can't make shoes in Malaysia, you say, sure, you're welcome to make those shoes in Malaysia where labor's 10 cents, but we're going to charge you a 90-cent tariff when you import them into the United States. So by the time they get here, the labor cost is still $1. And now, plus you have the added cost of shipping. And so businesses say, well, hey, it just makes sense to keep them here. And that's why we made shoes in the United States from 1776 up until 1996. And people say, well, you know, that's why the prices went down. No, no, the prices, you know, Nike, when they started making their shoes offshore, they didn't drop the price on their shoes. Phil Knight became a billionaire. Phil Knight became worth $6 billion. That's how it works. So anyhow, what I'm suggesting is that we need to not only reinstitute, you know, back out of WTO and GATT and reinstitute appropriate tariffs to protect our domestic manufacturing industries, both for the purposes of having jobs and for the purpose of our national defense. We can't make a missile right now without parts that are made in China. So, number one. And number two, that we need to do something which we have never done before, because we've never had the internet before and we've never had these high-speed telecommunications before, and that is we need to put tariffs on labor. So
well,
we
know,
say, you know, if it costs $15 an hour to answer the telephone for the phone company here in Massachusetts, or in Massachusetts, for example, the next state over, I'm in Vermont, but our phones are, you know, used to be answered in the information, used to be coming out of Massachusetts with Verizon, and now it's coming out of India. And so if, you know, when I dial 411, I get somebody in India. And if it used to cost $15 an hour and now it costs $1 an hour, then that's fine. You can have them do it in India, but for every hour of labor, you're going to have to pay a $14 tariff.
$14 an hour premium.
That's right.
You know, I never went to school and learned about economics. I've read a lot. And, you know, that's exactly what I was saying.
Yeah, it just makes sense.
Why don't they make up the difference in the tariff?
It just makes sense. We've done it for over 200 years,
yeah,
Joseph.
But if you say that, they accuse you of protectionism.
Well, it is protectionism.
Like protectionism is something dirty.
Yeah, no, protectionism is good. It's called being in the national interest. It's why we elect a government. Joseph, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. It's great to hear from you, and glad to know that we're heard in Las Vegas. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. I will be back after this break.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck
doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist.
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this
Sunday
for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Show.
An email here from Jamie. Jamie has a great idea. He was listening to the program and heard the Brett Bercy segment. Our friend down in South Carolina, who was arrested outside a Bush campaign speech. Jamie says, I have an idea for getting close to Bush with protest signs. Make a sign that says, impeach Bush, or something of that nature, one word above the other. And then have a strip of paper that is the same color as the sign's background. On this strip of paper, you print something like re-elect. Lightly stick re-elect over impeach. Carry this sign to the Bush event, and after you are safely surrounded by pro-Bush hordes, remove the re-elect portion of the sign and hold it up.
We love Bush. We love Bush. We love Bush.
Impeach Bush.
Huh? You didn't know I'm going to say that, did you?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Turn the world into one big Texas. Turn the world into one big Texas. Red lights are flashing, a cold red in the news.
Basil Clear Evans is peril. We cannot wait for the final proof. The smoking gun could come in the form of a mushroom cloud.
And welcome back. Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. This is Tom Hartman. And we have, let me get the screen up here. Ann in Sarasota, Florida is on the line. Hey, Ann, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. How are you today and what's up?
Hi, well, I'm upset with my insurance company, my homeowner's insurance company, and it kind of ties in with what you were just talking with the last caller about. A lot of these insurance companies are now moving all the, their customer service jobs over to India and places like that. So when you call with a question, you're answered over, out of the country, and you're not even aware of that. Yet my rate went up 15% over last year.
And I'll bet the CEO's salary did, too.
I'm sure it did. And I'm in Florida, and one of the things that they keep telling us is, well, you're in Florida, so because you have the potential for hurricanes, everybody's rate is going to be higher. But the thing is, I don't live near the ocean. The people that live on the ocean, they have the advantage that they've got like a wind pool thing, insurance thing, that they can get cheaper insurance from the state. And those are the people with the million-dollar homes and stuff, but I've got a little $100,000-some house, and I'm well inland, and I'm paying to subsidize their insurance.
Right.
And Bush keeps telling, they keep telling us, I know they said the other day, well, inflation's low and nothing's going up, and, you know, be happy and vote for Bush. But I don't know about them, but my insurance has gone up. My health insurance has gone up. My gas, every time I go to the gas station, has been higher lately. Groceries are higher. Where are they seeing this no inflation?
Yeah, well, there's that. And what you are describing, Ann, are the wonders of deregulation. I mean, we used to have government regulation because everybody understood that corporations left to themselves in an unconstrained marketplace would rip people off. And now we're seeing it again, but the conservatives are still chanting their religious mantra of corporations can do no harm. And they're wrong, of course. And thanks for the call and raising a very good point. This is Tom Hartman. Where we dare to ask, is Walmart a person? And we dare to answer, no! Stay tuned. We'll be back after the news.
From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Parting company with many of his fellow Republicans, Senator John McCain said Thursday he wants an independent commission to take a sweeping look at recent intelligence failures. The White House has dismissed the proposal, saying the CIA is committed to reviewing the intelligence behind claims that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. The Bush administration also argues that the weapons search is not yet complete. In an interview with the Associated Press, McCain says he believes the public needs an assessment that won't be clouded by partisan division. Conservatives expressed anger in private as administration officials said George W. Bush now estimates that the new Medicare overhaul law will cost a third more than projected when Congress passed the legislation last year. The president's budget to be released Monday will also project a federal deficit this year of about $520 billion, congressional aides said. That would far exceed this year's $375 billion, the highest ever in dollar terms. Many conservatives say privately they were owed an explanation as to why the White House did not provide them with the figures before they voted. Conservatives said they felt browbeaten into backing the legislation, which passed the House in November by 5 votes after leaders held the roll call open nearly 3 hours while nailing down support. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg said Thursday that people concerned about losing freedom to government anti-terrorism efforts should speak out. The Supreme Court is taking up several terror-related cases this spring, including challenges to the government detention of terror suspects without legal rights. Ginsburg, speaking to a group of women's rights lawyers, was asked if people's rights were in danger. She said on important issues like the balance between liberty and security, if the public doesn't care, then the security side is going to outweigh the other. That would change, Ginsburg said, if people came forward and say we are proud to live in the USA, a land that has been more free, and we want to keep it that way. More news after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They are full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
The man accused of bilking Cincinnati out of $184,000 finally was busted by a woman in New York City who did some background research before going out on a date with him. Investigators have been looking for LaShawn Pettis Brown for about a year in connection with a failed theater project. Pettis Brown's prospective date ran his name through a Google internet search engine and found an FBI warrant for his arrest. The woman called the FBI and told agents she was meeting Pettis Brown at an Applebee's restaurant on Long Island. The man was arrested when he arrived. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I have wonderful news for you. George W.'s latest tax cuts are working. They're now being credited with having produced a bonanza of consumer buying in the recent holiday season. What? You say you didn't get enough of a tax cut even to notice it, much less enjoy a bonanza of consumerism? You say that job losses and low wages actually force your family to cut back on holiday spending? You say that sales clerks at stores where you shop were complaining about slow and low sales? Well, bucko, that's because you don't shop at the right places. While the overall merchant scene was pretty grinchy this season, with such outfits as Walmart and Target showing disappointing results, things were a lot merrier at your high-end stores. Neiman Marcus, Tiffany, and Saks Fifth Avenue were among the purveyors of luxury goods that enjoyed booming sales to the Cadillac and Hummer crowd. And why not, dears? After all, this is the crowd that took the bulk of Bush's tax giveaways. While a typical family might have gotten a $600 tax cut if they were lucky, the millionaire families averaged $93,000 each in cuts. That'll buy a lot of baubles and gewgaws. This is why the CEO of Neiman Marcus exulted that holiday shoppers in his swank stores, quote, prove that luxury is alive. Indeed, sales of such stocking stuffers as $5,000 to $10,000 watches were up 16% this season over last. There were similar jumps in diamonds, gold, and cashmere goods, and Neiman reported that sales of Chanel, Prada, and Gucci handbags were absolutely miraculous. Actually, there's nothing miraculous about it. When the president takes cold cash out of the public treasury and hands it to the high rollers, they do what the high rollers do, roll out the Escalade and go to Neiman's. This is Jim Hightower saying, the holiday shopping results offer a perfect picture of Bush's policies. The rich get richer, and everybody else cuts back.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, telling the truths that multinational corporations don't want you to know. Today is Friday. It's our second hour. It's time for Brunch with Bernie, Congressman Bernie Sanders, America's independent congressman, the only member of the United States House of Representatives who is truly an independent. And Bernie, welcome to the program.
Good to be with you, Tom.
You know, Bernie, the other day, I don't think we talked about this last week. It was pointed out to me over the course of the last week that you were the one who suggested the $300 tax refund check to everybody as a way of stimulating the economy that George Bush appropriated and kind of tacked on at the last minute to his tax breaks for the rich.
So, well, that's true. As a matter of fact, that's true. What was going on is Bush was talking about tax breaks and tax breaks and tax breaks. And we sat around thinking, and we said, all right, what is the best way, the fairest way, to make sure that ordinary people, not just millionaires, have a few bucks in their pocket that they need and also could be an economic stimulant. And we thought of the $300 rebate, which, of course, goes to almost everybody. That idea kind of percolated up around the Democratic ranks, and then Bush took it. That's true.
Yeah. They're remarkable. Just let me remind our listeners, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES if they want to call and talk with Congressman Sanders. Bernie, looking at your website, I see this, the Center for American Progress done a good job on this whole thing about CBS refusing to run the ad for MoveOn.org. I've got a long list here of what they've allowed with Pfizer, Walmart, Philip Morris, and whatnot. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Tom, this is part of an issue that you and I, and I know a lot of other people, have been talking about and are concerned about it. And that is the growing concentration of ownership and control in the media and the question of whether or not the American people are hearing two sides of the story. We're a divided nation politically. And yet time and time again, what we're hearing on right-wing talk radio through the corporate media is just one side of the story. Now, what you have here is the Super Bowl is coming up. You're going to have zillions of people watching it. And CBS makes ad time available. MoveOn.org wanted to do a 30-second ad on the deficit and the fact that we're going to have a record-breaking $500 billion deficit this year, part of a $7 trillion national debt. And they wanted to raise that issue as a something for the American people to be thinking about. Well, CBS said, no, you can't run that ad. It's just too controversial. But as you just mentioned a moment ago, amazingly enough, CBS is able to run issue advocacy ads for Walmart, a corporation which pays horrendously low wages in America, is having a very negative impact on our economy in many ways. They're able to run issue advocacy ads for Pfizer, which is leading the way to make sure that Americans pay by far the highest prices in the world for prescription drugs. And Philip Morris, do you have any idea how many people Philip Morris has killed in its history?
It's got to be a mind-boggling number.
Right. But, well, they can get an issue advocacy ad, too, to talk about what nice guys they are and how they're trying to, I guess, keep young people from smoking. So those guys are okay. But when MoveOn.org says, hey, we want to talk about what this deficit is going to mean for the next generation and our grandchildren, oh, my God, we can't run that. There are some of us who fear, and this is speculation, I don't have any facts, that CBS is running a little bit scared because right now they have in the pipeline their effort, along with other television networks, to increase the number of affiliates that they can own in the United States. And that was allowed by the FCC, as you'll recall,
right,
in a terrible decision. It's now being held up in court. Congress is debating the issue. So there is some fear that CBS is trying to curry favor with the Bush administration, which is certainly what they did when, as you recall, a couple of months ago, they managed to keep that Ronald Reagan show off of CBS.
Yeah, okay. We've got a couple of callers here, Bernie. Before we get to them, is there anything on your plate that you wanted to be sure to talk about today before we get lost in the calls?
I did, Tom. And one of the issues, and one of the reasons I love doing your show, is you have the guts to have on your airwaves issues that very few other people talk about. And I want to say a few words later on in the show. We can get into it. I would like the listeners to think about it. Distribution of wealth and income in America. Now, you can watch CBS and listen to Rush Limbaugh for the next 20 years, and you'll not hear that discussion. But what does it mean that the richest 1% of the population own more wealth than the bottom 95%? That the United States has the most unfair distribution of wealth and income of any country on earth, and that gap is growing. I would like listeners to think about it and talk about it, because it's an issue that does not get a lot of airing.
Yeah. And the Republicans, of course, or the conservatives, let's say, respond to people who point out facts like that. And you know, without the benefit of understanding history, that we approached this kind of watershed back in 1929, and many very competent historians and economists suggest that it was largely this teetering tower of wealth in the 20s as a result of several huge tax cuts for the rich during the 1920s led to the Great Depression. And yet, nonetheless, they respond to the kind of thing that you just said by saying, oh, that's class warfare. How dare they? They're trying to pit the rich against the poor. They're trying to say the rich are bad. How do you respond to that?
First of all, after you stop laughing, what you say is, of course there's class warfare going on in America. What does it mean when you have a trade policy that throws American workers out on the street when the new jobs that are being created are low-wage jobs, when we don't raise the minimum wage, and we give tax breaks to the richest people in the country to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars? Yeah, of course. The Bush policy is to make the rich richer, to see the middle class shrink, and to increase poverty. Yes, it is class warfare. That's what I say. Unfortunately, the wrong side is winning that war. And that's why we've got to be thinking about how we can turn that around.
Okay. And then they would say, but Bernie, you just want to take away from the productive members of society and give to the lazy, unproductive members of society.
Well, as you know, as a congressman, I go around my state and I go around the country. And I talk to people who are working 50, 60, 70 hours a week, and they're barely able to keep their heads above water economically. People who are working hard and they don't have any health insurance. Let me tell you something. These folks are not lazy. If you want to talk, and I'm not here to attack, you know, anybody who has money and so forth and so on. But there's something a little bit crazy when the Bush administration wants to repeal completely the estate tax, which applies to the wealthiest 2%. They think it's okay to give a lot of help and support to millionaires and billionaires and kids who inherit this money from their parents. That's okay. But to help middle-class families get health care or pay for the cost of college education, oh, that is terrible. That's coddling people. So I think very much the opposite of what the Bush people are saying is the reality, and I think we got to keep pounding away on that issue.
Yeah, well said. Thank you, Bernie. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Chip in South Carolina is on the line. Hey, Chip, are you listening to us on WEED there?
No, I'm listening to you on my computer.
Oh, okay, great. Well, welcome to the program.
Thank you. What your guest was talking about, the two kinds of America,
Congressman Sanders,
the one for the haves and the one for the have not. That's exactly what where I live at. You know, Senator John Edwards.
Right.
Yes, he's touting that.
That's right.
And from your guest, I wanted to find out what he thought about. You know, this is basically John Edwards, you know, stump speech wherever he goes. You know, there's like two kinds of Americas and all that. However, he's an individual now that's a multimillionaire, and he keeps talking about, you know, well, there's two kinds of Americas, but he's in that other America that he keeps mentioning about.
Chip, stay on the air for a minute, okay? I am not a Democrat. I'm an independent. But you're right in saying that this is what Edwards is talking about. He's talking about two kinds of America,
mm-hmm.
Americans. Is the fact that he has made a lot of money as a successful lawyer, is that something which makes you less likely to support him, despite the fact that what he's saying may be true?
Yes, unless you can convince me otherwise, sir. And I'm all ears.
Okay, Chip. Here's the point that I want to make to you. Okay. In many ways, there is a class war going on in America, and the rich are getting richer, the middle class is shrinking, and poverty is increasing. There is no perfect politician out there. Not me. Not John Edwards. Not anybody else. But what you have got to analyze is who is in the White House, whose side is that guy on? Who do you think is Bush's? Do you know what the Bush family is about? Bush family makes John Edwards into a pauper. This is a family that has had huge sums of money for many, many generations. But that's not the issue, because you can have rich people who do damn good things for the American people.
Like FDR.
All right, the question is, do you think that George Bush and his millionaire friends and advisors, the guys who give tax breaks to the rich and cut back on the needs of the middle class, do you think they stay up nights worrying about you?
Oh, no, definitely not. I know he didn't lose any sleep.
So, Chip, I think what we got to look at is not to say that John Edwards or John Kerry or Howard Dean or any of these guys, none of them are perfect. I'm not perfect. All right? Somebody believe me that I get attacked every day, too. But what you have got to decide and the American people have got to decide is which guy is going to be more on the side of the middle class. And I think,
Thank you, sir,
it ain't going to be George Bush.
Yeah. Well said.
Okay, Chip?
Yeah, I think Chip just hung up, but yeah,
okay.
he said I thank you, I get it. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. Thanks, Chip in South Carolina, for that call. Paul in Detroit is on the line. Hey, Paul, welcome to the Tom Hartman program with Congressman Bernie Sanders.
Hello, Congressman Sanders and Tom. In today's New York Times, Bob Herbert reports that Halliburton has a mail drop subsidiaries in the Cayman Islands, Bermuda, Trinidad and Tobago, Panama, Liechtenstein, and the Pacific Islands of Vanuatu for the sole purpose of tax evasion. Now, I was wondering what can be done about this Benedict Arnold Halliburton.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that you raised that point, Paul. What you have, I mean, here's Halliburton, and I hope all of the listeners know that the fellow who was CEO of Halliburton for a number of years is our illustrious vice president.
And he's still drawing a paycheck from
him. He's still drawing a paycheck. I think it gives you, and what Paul is telling us, is that the vice president of the United States is head of a company which is avoiding paying their taxes to us. And they're running all over the world in these phony postal box operations so that they claim they're not an American corporation and they can avoid paying their taxes. I think it is clear that it's not only Halliburton, and you want to talk about Halliburton, talk about the fact that they are ripping off the American taxpayers and our young men and women are over in Iraq because they're charging more than they should be in the middle of a war. I think the point is that you have many large corporations, Halliburton being one of them, who no longer consider themselves in many respects American companies. These are corporations that could care less about the American people, the American worker. They will go any place in the world to avoid taxes to get cheap labor. I would just mention that last year the fellow who's head of General Electric, I like this ghost, his name is Jeff Immelt, I believe. He gets up there and he says, China, 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 that's where we want to go. Answer is, we should not be giving one nickel in tax breaks or subsidies to any of these corporations that want to leave the United States for tax purposes or economic reasons.
Amen. We should make it illegal. Paul, thanks for the call. Thanks for the answer, Bernie. Stay tuned. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, and Bernie and I will be back right after this break.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today, or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference, about the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Propaganda, propaganda. Try and convince the folks that beach is never sandy. You can convert into lies what they seen with their own eyes. It's amazing. Propaganda. Life is so complex, so confusing. Everyone just trying to make ends meet. You can brighten up my day, keep the facts out of my way. Just simplify the complex, repeat, repeat, repeat.
And welcome back. Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Congressman Bernie Sanders, our guest for the second hour of our Friday program every week. Congressman Sanders on the line. And Kim in Texas is called 1-800-TALK-YES. Hey, Kim, welcome to the Tom Hartman program with Congressman Bernie Sanders.
Yes, sir. I called yesterday and he told me to call back today with my question.
Yes, sir.
When I was in college, and this is what, 1960s? The 50s, I turned around and I used to say that as soon as they built a plant overseas, corporations should not be considered American because they no longer have loyalty to this country. But here's my question point. And we have all these corporations now that are going overseas, offshore to Cayman Island, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to escape their civil responsibility and their patriotic responsibility of paying taxes. So at what point are they considered legally no longer American corporations, but foreign corporations, thus denying them the right to give contributions to congressmen and senators and the president?
That's a good question, Kim. Congressman Sanders?
Well, Kim, these are the kinds of issues that some of us are beginning to raise. And I'll tell you where we have to start with, I think, for a start. Right now, you may or may not know that you as a taxpayer help contribute hundreds of billions of dollars in tax breaks and subsidies to programs like the Export-Import Bank, the Overseas Private Investment Corporation, OPIC, and other government programs which help these very same corporations. And what my view is, for a start, what we tell these corporations, if you want to run to the Cayman Islands or Bermuda to avoid taxes, we got to stop that anyhow. But if you want to run to China or Mexico, we've got to change our trade policies. But I'll tell you what, if you want to go over there, do not come to the taxpayers of this country for your corporate welfare. That, in fact, what we have got to do is start supporting those small and medium-sized companies that want to create decent-paying jobs in America. Absolutely insane to me to be giving money to Boeing, to be giving money to General Electric, to all of these companies that are running abroad, and then they come in for corporate welfare. That's number one. And number two, obviously, we've got to change our trade policies, which deal with manufacturing, which deal with information technology, that says to those companies that if you want to be considered as an American company, you're going to have to invest in this country and create jobs here. So there's a lot of work to be done, and I think, Kim, you've got some good ideas.
But what about Bernie? What about their donating money? I mean, you know, Al Gore took a lot of heat for that Buddhist temple thing, for taking money from Taiwan. These corporations are no longer American corporations, many of them.
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, it's also an interest. It is, and it's something to be thought about. The other interesting thing that I found is, what was it, Neil Bush, the president's brother, was offered a couple of million dollars by a Chinese company. Do you recall that?
Oh, yeah, and he's now just moved his software company from Texas to Mexico, by the way.
All right. So I think at some point, the caller's question is a good point. At what point do we consider these companies American companies, and what role can those companies play in the political process?
Right. Or foreign powers trying to influence our domestic political process, which I believe is illegal, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is, yes. Members of Congress and candidates cannot accept money from non-American citizens.
Yeah, so, you know, if a corporation, you know, if Halliburton is reincorporated in the Caymans, are they still an American citizen? I'm sure it's fraught with technicalities.
It is. And of course, that doesn't, because the corporation can be considered non-American, doesn't mean to say that the citizen is non-American.
Yeah. And actually, corporations are barred from giving money to politicians directly now anyway. Okay, Kim, thank you very much for the call. Congressman Sanders, we've got to take a break here. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Congressman Bernie Sanders. It's our Brunch with Bernie every Friday afternoon, our Brunch with Bernie segment. If you'd like to call, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES. And let's see, Mark in Dallas, Tom in Pittsburgh, Michael in Santa Fe, Kevin in Tampa, and Rob in Grand Rapids. Hang on the line. We'll pick up your calls on the other side of this break. Stay tuned.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here now in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
A vast section of Lake Erie has run very short on oxygen, and that's bad news for the fish that live there. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. For the past several summers, the cold bottom water in the center of Lake Erie has had so little oxygen that people refer to it as a dead zone. The lack of oxygen drives out fish and other aquatic animals. Scientists say part of the reason this has happened in Lake Erie has to do with some of its unique qualities. But they say the problems in Lake Erie should also serve as a warning sign for the other Great Lakes. Jeffrey Reuter directs the Ohio Sea Grant Program in the Stone Laboratory at Ohio State University. Reuter says a dead zone can occur when urban wastewater and fertilizer from farm fields carry too much phosphorus into the water. The phosphorus produces huge blooms of algae, and that starts a process that robs the cold bottom waters of oxygen during the summer. Reuter says the Lake Erie watershed is different from those around the other Great Lakes, and that means it receives more sediment and more phosphorus.
The watershed around the other Great Lakes are all dominated by forest ecosystems. The watershed around Lake Erie is dominated by an agricultural and an urban ecosystem. And we also receive more sediment than the other Great Lakes, and much of that sediment comes in with agricultural fertilizers attached.
Lake Erie is the shallowest of the Great Lakes, and so it's more vulnerable to the dead zone conditions. But Reuter says other conditions in Lake Erie contribute to this problem, and they are common around the Great Lakes Basin. They include rising temperatures, falling lake levels, and invasive species such as zebra mussels. Reuter is concerned that Lake Erie is showing symptoms of problems that have yet to develop in the other Great Lakes. He hopes the U.S. and Canada will invest in more research to avoid them. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of a brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, I was in the car and I heard this guy. He sounded all shook up and he told me why. His voice was a shaking on the EIB. Sounded like an Oxycontin eater to me. It was a bug-eyed, tone-deaf, flying Oxycontin eater.
Right-wing syndicated, spinning liberal people beater.
Right-wing, strung-out, hypocrite, prescription cheater. Rush looked strange to me.
That guy?
Well, his housekeeper picked up some drugs on the street. And she brought the stuff home for the boss to eat. I heard him say in a voice so gruff,
I tried to quit twice, but it was just too tough.
He was a big mouth, blowhard, right-wing propaganda reader.
Bad ear, sore back, 30 dose of Daniel Eater.
A three-time retread, frequent Betty Ford repeater. Still looks high to me.
One more time.
I said, Mr. Oxycontin, got the show sounds fine.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Congressman Bernie Sanders here in the second hour of our Friday afternoon Brunch with Bernie segment. Congressman Sanders, America's independent congressman, the only independent member of the House of Representatives. And 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. And let's see, we've got some changes here in the lineup, but I think, is it Mark in Dallas is next there, John?
Hello?
Yeah, Mark?
Yes, this is Mark.
Hey, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Thanks,
you're on the air.
Tom. And how you doing, Representative Sanders?
I'm well, Mark. How are you?
Great. I've called before. I've got four quick points for you. They're very quick. The first is, how can I be a productive member of society by paying taxes if I can't find a job? Last week, I went to a job fair in Dallas, 3,000 people for 300 positions. First comment. Second comment is the AFL-CIO has a wonderful website where they look at comparisons between CEOs and workers' wages. For example, I'm looking at the webpage now for Lou Gerstner, who is the CEO of IBM for 2002. In 2002, he made $146 per minute. The average minimum age, or the minimum age worker makes 9 cents per minute. An average worker makes 20 cents per minute. The President of the United States makes $3.21 a minute. If you look at that in terms of how many years to equal his salary, a minimum wage worker would have to work 1,707 years to equal what Lou Gerstner made in 1 year. Average worker, 717 years. President of the United States, even, 91 years.
And, Mark, let me tell you something about Lou Gerstner.
Uh-huh.
You know what he did to get that money? He cut the pensions of his workers. That's mm-hmm. what he did, of IBM employees. He has cut back on the health care benefits of his retirees. And IBM, under his leadership, began the process of moving jobs out of the United States of America. So obviously, he's worth every penny of it, don't you think?
Well, I understand where you're coming from. And the point is a lot of times people don't realize what this means. As I see it in black and white, that's the reason I point out this page. Two quick rhetorical comments. When I hear class warfare, this is what I say. If the rich are taxed too much and the poor are taxed too little, then why is the income gap growing? Secondly, if billionaires and millionaires can fight for their economic interests, why can't poor people fight for their economic interests as well?
Well, I think you got it absolutely right, Mark. Thank you.
Good points, Mark. Thanks for the call. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, Michael in Santa Fe is on the line. Hey, Michael, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program with Congressman Bernie Sanders.
Yes, Congressman, I'd like to ask you a question about secrecy in government. And you're there in the belly of the beast, so to speak, and I'm kind of wondering, you know, this is the most secret administration in, you know, probably our history, and they almost act like a bunch of, you know, mafiosos or something. So I'm wondering, you're in Congress. How does a lot of the Republicans feel about this? I mean, not, you know, a lot of even like, you know, the Northeast Republicans and things like that. I mean, do you talk to people back in the cloakroom? You don't need to mention any names, and they kind of look at you and they're like, oh, my God, but I got to support these people because I'm scared of them. I mean, how you kind of have the inside view there.
Well, Mark, that's a good question.
Yeah.
And let me
give you my judgment, the answer, what I think is going on.
Okay, I'll let you go.
One of the disappointments, Mark, is that with extreme right-wing leadership of the Republican Party, people like Tom DeLay, for example, and some others, what they have really managed to do is get in line a lot of moderate Republicans who should have, I think, the courage and the sense of responsibility of not just following blindly the leadership of that party. And that has been very disappointing. I think if you talk to people quietly, as I do, because I have a number of friends who are Republicans, you'll find people who are very concerned and upset, for example, about this recent Medicare bill that was passed. As you recall, the Republicans had to keep the voting rolls open 3 hours longer than the rules declared in order to twist enough arms to get that vote. So to answer your question, it is very tough for moderate Republicans to stand up to the leadership, because this leadership is pretty tough. If you go outside of party ranks on certain issues, you can lose your committee chairmanship, and there are other ways that you can be punished. So Tom DeLay and his friends keep a pretty disciplined order, and it is disappointing to see moderate Republicans not fighting back.
Yeah, well said. Thank you, Michael, for the call. 1-800-TALK-YES. Our number, Kevin in Tampa, Florida, is on the line. Hey, Kevin, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom, and Congressman, it's an honor to speak with you.
Thank you, Kevin.
My question, I had written this in the chat room to Tom, and he asked me to call to ask you myself. I had an idea. I really haven't heard anybody talking about it, and I'm wondering about the feasibility of it. On these companies that have the offshore tax dodging subsidiaries?
Yes.
The idea I had was, why can't their profits in these companies be included in their American company's income by law, at, with a 10% surcharge on it for the expenses for the IRS in order to investigate their earnings in these other companies?
Well, like many other things, it is something that can be done if Congress had the guts and the willpower to do it.
Well, part of my question is, I haven't heard anybody saying this was something I thought on my own. Is it something which maybe is a possibility, especially if like, the Democrats do take over Congress eventually? Or
what you're saying is that, in so many words, is that these guys should be fined and have to pay an extra fee because of the added expenses involved in tracking them down.
Sure.
Yes, the answer is that is a reasonable idea. It is something that could be done, but certainly under Bush and the Republican leadership who support this.
Oh, yeah.
We heard earlier in the show that Halliburton, Vice President Cheney's firm, was doing this thing.
Oh, well, I know that.
Yeah, so you're not going to quite see Dick Cheney getting up on the television saying, this is an outrage, we've got to go after these companies. We've got to get rid of this leadership, and then we have to deal with those companies who are ripping off the American taxpayer. It's a good idea.
Yeah. Okay. Kevin, thanks for the call. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. Let's see. Tom in Pittsburgh dropped out. Rob in Grand Rapids dropped out. So, Terry in California is on the line next. Terry in California, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
It's an honor to speak with both of you.
Thank you.
I've been concerned for some years. I've watched as I keep hearing of corporations doing this and corporations doing that, and I look at it kind of like the fires that everybody's running around trying to put out one fire after another that these corporations are starting. Is it not feasible, or could it possibly be feasible, or could we not seize the charters of these corporations and recharter them and put them under a licensing charter that could be revoked and renewed and evaluated and modified periodically?
Tom, I think you know more about it. You did some writing on this subject, didn't
yeah,
you?
I wrote a book about it, yeah.
I'll let you respond to that. You probably know more about it than I do.
Well, you know, the unfortunate reality, Terry, is, or the originally fortunate reality, was that from 1776 or 1787, really, when most corporate law was created in the United States as American law, up until the 1880s, 1890s, that was very much the case. Corporations were acquired as their first as their first purpose of incorporation, to serve the public good. And then their second purpose of incorporation was to, you know, run a railroad or build matchboxes or whatever they did. And first of all, Lincoln had to suspend many of those kinds of laws during the Civil War in order to allow corporations to get large enough to supply the war materiel. And we never really quite recovered from that. Lincoln's assassination put an end to his intended reforms of the pullbacks of the anti-corporate laws or the corporate constraining laws that he had had to suspend. And then secondly, during the 1880s, 1890s, you had, you know, Rockefeller and Standard Oil and all this, and they started pitting states against each other for their business, which is something we see all the way up to today, where states are saying, hey, you know, we're going to move our headquarters to another state if you don't give us more tax breaks. And states have lost the ability to do this. It really needs to be done at a federal level, and that's going to require strong leadership, and it's clearly not going to come from the Republicans. It's something that I think, you know, perhaps Howard Dean could provide. I don't know about John Kerry or the other Democrats, although I think that, you know, any of them have the potential to do it, but this is something that is going to take just a groundswell of
redefining the role of the corporation in American society and its responsibility to the public is what you're saying.
Exactly. Absolutely. And the last president to do that was FDR.
Okay. I think that's long overdue. We charter these guys, and then they do whatever they want, and they work against, in many instances, the interest of the people.
So what you're saying is that we've lost control of our political process to these corporations, and there's not a very good chance that we could get it back.
Not unless, Terry, the people themselves stand up and get involved in the political process. Corporate America, the big money interests are heavily involved. Ordinary people are not. We've got to change the political culture of this country in many ways. Take it back so that we make government and corporate America responsive to the needs of ordinary people.
And we can't get the word out to them because they control the media, so we can't even educate them about what's going on.
Well, we got to work. That's an issue. I mean, you know, Tom and I talk about that every week. That's an issue we've also got to play a role in.
Thank you both so much.
Okay, well, thank you, Terry.
Thanks for the call, Terry. Our lines are clear if you'd like to call 1-800-TALK-YES, the number 1-800-825-5937. Bernie, I realize you're not a Democrat. I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on the Democratic primary you'd like to share with us, or if that's something that you just don't go there.
Well, I'm not going to get involved in the Democratic primary because I'm not a Democrat per se. And what I will do is after the Democrats choose their candidate, I will be supportive of that candidate. As I have said many times, I think President Bush is perhaps more beholden to corporate interest and more distant and less concerned about the middle class and working families of this country than any president that I can think of. So I am going to be working as hard as I can to rally people not only in my own state of Vermont but all over this country to defeat President Bush.
Yeah. Amen. Well said. What else do you see on the legislative agenda? What's happening in Congress right now?
A couple of things that are happening. I think there's going to be another very hard look at this prescription drug bill under Medicare. Interestingly enough, Tom, if you looked at the papers today, what you notice is that terrible bill, which was a gift of the pharmaceutical industry, that they said was going to cost $400 billion over a 10-year period. Well, lo and behold, guess what? It's going to cost at least $500 billion.
Yeah.
Some of us were not too shocked by it. The other interesting point, I don't know how much media coverage this has gotten, the fellow who probably played the most active role in writing that very terrible bill is a guy named Billy Torzin, who is a congressman from Louisiana and chairman of the House Commerce Committee. Mr. Torzin announced last week that he is contemplating leaving Congress, resigning, and getting a job for several million dollars a year with...
Guess who?
I know it's a hard one, Tom.
Pharma!
Hey, I can't believe you got it. Yeah, shock of all shocks. Yeah. The guy who helped write this bill, which was a multi-billion-dollar gift for the pharmaceutical industry, is giving thought. He hasn't made the final decision, but he's been offered a job by the very same folks that he was protecting.
Yeah,
the listeners will be shocked.
Yes, they will be just amazed. Their jaws are dropping. It's just amazing. What really truly is amazing, Bernie, is how small the investments are that these companies make for the very large returns they get.
That's right.
They get back billions, and they invest just a few million.
You've got tens of billions of dollars.
Yeah. 1-800-TALK-YES. Paul in New Hampshire's on the line. Hey, Paul, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program, Brunch with Bernie Sanders.
Thank you very much. Very interesting topic and directly applicable to me. I want to talk about the distinction between these inverted companies that move their headquarters to the Bahamas to avoid paying taxes, which is one problem. I know John Kerry talks about that. He wants to make them ineligible for government contracts. But this doesn't say anything about the, quote, American corporations that leave their headquarters here, seem to be playing by the rules, but ship all their jobs to India.
Mm-hmm.
And this is particularly a problem in the industry I work in, which is the IT industry.
Yeah.
Where we, you know, it's not like moving just to your call center, but
right.
You know, they're actually hiring, they're not outsourcing it. They're hiring employees in India. And your idea, in fact, I want to ask you where that idea came from, the tariff on labor. I think that's an excellent idea.
That's my idea, as far as I know.
You came up with that yourself.
Yeah, I've never read anybody. In fact, I've got to write a piece of Four Common Dreams about it. It's in a book I have coming out on July 4th from Random House called A Return to Democracy.
Representative Sanders, that he initiated a bill doing that.
As we speak, my staff and I are working on legislation to attempt to address this huge issue. Because as we know, not only have we lost some 2.7 million decent-paying manufacturing jobs in the last 3 years, but what's beginning to happen now, as Paul indicates, is we're going to see a hemorrhaging of jobs in information technology, that is people who work on computers or people who work on telephones. And we're seeing many of those jobs go to India, where workers there are paid 10% of the wages that American workers are paid. So we are now assembling ideas, frankly. This is an issue that has got to be addressed. Some solutions are fairly easy. Some of them are harder. But we are open to any ideas that people have. And by the way, let me give you my website, and we'd love to hear your thoughts on that. You can get our email from the website. It's www.bernie.house.gov. And you will find on that website a whole lot of information about this issue. And we are going to introduce legislation that we're formulating now. We'd love to hear the ideas that people have. It's a tough issue, Tom.
Yeah, it is.
We got to withdraw.
If there were ideas other than the tariff idea, because I hadn't heard any concrete proposals.
Well, certainly you could always go back to that one basic proposal. A lot of these companies get corporate welfare. And essentially what we can say is if they're not serious about trying to protect and expand decent-paying jobs in this country, they're not going to get any corporate welfare. And that's important. But that's not the only approach that I think we should be using.
Paul, thanks for the call. Bernie, hang on. We've got Brian in Pennsylvania and Cecilia in Florida. We'll have 3 minutes when we come back from this break, so we'll try and get through them very quickly. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. You're talking with Congressman Bernie Sanders, 1-800-TALK-YES. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. But judge for yourself. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. And we will send you a free sampler. Yes, a free sampler. 2 full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine and want to do well by our earth. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights? Priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Come on.
The Mike Molloy Show.
An interview with George and Pickles from the current issue of Ladies' Home Journal. They're asked about what September 11, 2001 was like for them personally. Although over 3,000 people had just perished, George W. was able to find some humor by the end of the day. The day ended on a relatively humorous note. The agent said, "You'll be sleeping downstairs." And I said, "No, we like our own bed." So I told the agent, "We're going upstairs." And the agent comes running up and says, "Run your attack. We need you downstairs." So there we go. I'm in my running shorts and my T-shirt, and I'm barefooted, got the dog in one hand, Laura had the cat.
I don't have my contacts in, and I'm in my fuzzy house slippers.
We're heading straight down to the basement because there's an incoming unidentified airplane which is going here toward the White House, and then the guy says it's a friendly airplane, and we hustle all the way back upstairs and go to bed.
And we just lay there thinking about the way we must have looked.
We got a laugh out of it.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up.
And welcome back. It's the Tom Hartman Program, your light at the end of the tunnel of talk radio. We have Brian in Pennsylvania, Cecilia in Florida. I'm going to let bring each one of you on for 30 seconds to make a quick comment or question, and then that'll leave us 2 minutes for Bernie to answer. So, Brian, fire away.
Hi, Tom. My point, I'd love to hear your opinion on this. I believe we have this curse of the 401k and curse of the IRA. And it goes to what you're talking about with corporations, that basically we'll never be able to change anything, all these reforms that we're talking about, because it's going to get to the heart of the profits of the corporation. And those people who have the 401ks and the IRAs don't want to see the profits go down because they're looking at the stock pages every day.
Yeah. Got it. Okay, Brian, thank you. Cecilia, you're 30 seconds here. Sorry to make it short, but we're running out of time.
I understand. Good afternoon, both of you. One of my main concerns, one of my main issues that I work on and spend a lot of time on are environmental issues. And this administration, in my personal opinion, will go down as one of the absolute worst environmental administrations ever. And I would just encourage the congressman to do what he can to fight to protect the Endangered Species Act, to fight the Clean Air Act revisions that are coming, the energy bill, sure. Et cetera, et cetera. And I thank you for the opportunity.
Cecilia, thank you very
briefly
much.
Briefly respond to Cecilia, somebody who has most years 100% voting record for the environment. I certainly intend to do that. And one of the particular horrors of the moment is we now have the potential technologically to move to sustainable energy, break our dependency on fossil fuel and nuclear power, and we ain't doing it. And she is quite right about pointing out the horrendous record of the Bush administration on environmental issues. In terms of Brian makes the point that we make over and over again as to how powerful corporate America is. And what I would remind our listeners is there are a lot more of us than there are of them. Yup, they have the money. Yup, to a large degree, they own the media. But nonetheless, if we organize, if we educate, if we get people involved in the political process, we can not only win elections, but we can make the kind of changes that are long overdue for this country, so the government works for all of us, and not just a handful of very wealthy people.
Well said. Congressman Bernie Sanders, thanks again so much for being with us. It's always so refreshing to hear you, and I so appreciate you being on.
Well, Tom, you keep up the great work.
I will. You too, Bernie.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah. This is Tom Hartman. You're in the real free speech zone. No barbed wire cages here. Yes, indeed. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day
on the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Conservatives expressed anger in private as administration officials said George W. Bush now estimates that the new Medicare overhaul law will cost a third more than projected when Congress passed the legislation last year. The president's budget to be released Monday will also project a federal deficit this year of about $520 billion, congressional aides said. That would far exceed this year's $375 billion, the highest ever in dollar terms. Many conservatives say privately they were owed an explanation as to why the White House did not provide them with the figures before they voted. Conservatives said they felt browbeaten into backing the legislation, which passed the House in November by 5 votes after leaders held the roll call open nearly 3 hours while nailing down support. Parting company with many of his fellow Republicans, Senator John McCain said Thursday he wants an independent commission to take a sweeping look at recent intelligence failures. The White House has dismissed the proposal, saying the CIA is committed to reviewing the intelligence behind claims that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. The Bush administration also argues that the weapons search is not yet complete. In an interview with the Associated Press, McCain says he believes the public needs an assessment that won't be clouded by partisan division. The Arizona senator said he is seeking a full-scale look not only at apparently botched intelligence on Iraq's weapons capabilities, but also flawed estimations of Iraq, North Korea, and Libya, and the faulty assessments from other Western intelligence sources. Connecticut Governor John G. Rowland acquired thousands of dollars worth of stock in a company whose owner later benefited from a state project to move a community college, two newspapers reported Thursday. The college relocation is one of several cases federal investigators are reviewing in their corruption probe of Rowland's administration, the Hartford Courant and New York Times reported. Rowland's personal financial records have been subpoenaed, and the legislative committee is deciding whether the Republican governor should be impeached. More news after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They are full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
Firefighters in Shawnee, Oklahoma, peered into a crystal ball and found the cause for a sofa fire. Once the couch was extinguished, a firefighter reached into a hole burnt into the sofa and found a glass gazing ball. Soon, sunlight shining through the ball burned two holes in the legs of his pants. They then placed the ball on the grass, and within 30 seconds, the ground was smoking. They believe the ball was taken off a table and placed on the couch by the homeowner's grandchildren, which started the first fire. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Would you like to know what the future holds? Call the psychic phone line today and talk with a real live psychic. Our psychics are fully licensed and guaranteed to know what the future holds. Just listen.
Hello, psychic phone line, may I help you?
Tell me what the future holds.
Ah, good news.
I'll be rich and successful?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I have wonderful news for you. George W.'s latest tax cuts are working. They're now being credited with having produced a bonanza of consumer buying in the recent holiday season. What? You say you didn't get enough of a tax cut even to notice it, much less enjoy a bonanza of consumerism? You say that job losses and low wages actually force your family to cut back on holiday spending? You say that sales clerks at stores where you shop were complaining about slow and low sales? Well, bucko, that's because you don't shop at the right places. While the overall merchant scene was pretty grinchy this season, with such outfits as Walmart and Target showing disappointing results, things were a lot merrier at your high-end stores. Neiman Marcus, Tiffany, and Saks Fifth Avenue were among the purveyors of luxury goods that enjoyed booming sales to the Cadillac and Hummer crowd. And why not, dears? After all, this is the crowd that took the bulk of Bush's tax giveaways. While a typical family might have gotten a $600 tax cut if they were lucky, the millionaire families averaged $93,000 each in cuts. That'll buy a lot of baubles and gewgaws. This is why the CEO of Neiman Marcus exulted that holiday shoppers in his swank stores, quote, prove that luxury is alive. Indeed, sales of such stocking stuffers as $5,000 to $10,000 watches were up 16% this season over last. There were similar jumps in diamonds, gold, and cashmere goods, and Neiman reported that sales of Chanel, Prada, and Gucci handbags were absolutely miraculous. Actually, there's nothing miraculous about it. When the president takes cold cash out of the public treasury and hands it to the high rollers, they do what the high rollers do. Roll out the Escalade and go to Neiman's. This is Jim Hightower saying, the holiday shopping results offer a perfect picture of Bush's policies. The rich get richer and everybody else cuts back.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. We'll be right back.
a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded? This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back, Defending America from the Conservative Weapons of Mass Deception. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. It is 7 minutes after the hour. And moving along from Congressman Bernie Sanders to would-be Senator Nancy Skinner. I wanted to bring Nancy on the program and give us an update here on how she's doing in the Chicago senatorial race and also an overview of some of the political goings-on. Robert Reich wrote a great piece in the New York Times today that Nancy mentioned to me this morning, and I'd like to bring that up, too. So, Nancy Skinner, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Tom, doesn't that sound great, Senator Skinner? Doesn't it just roll off your tongue like it's meant to be?
I would be so happy if you were elected senator from Illinois. Is there a chance of it happening, Nancy?
Sure, absolutely. That's what's so preposterous about the situation here in Illinois with especially media coverage. Once again, I just got back from an interview, taped an interview with Dick Kay. He does a show called City Desk. He's a big show for 30 years. So that was a big deal. But when I tried to bring up the issues of the media and how they affect the process, he laughed me off. As if there's not an effect on the process. The facts are, in my race, there are 50% of voters still undecided. Whoa. And we're all within, 5 points of each other. So how on earth Chicago Tribune has decided over the last few days not to mention me or another candidate, Joyce Washington, as even contenders? So they say the top five contenders say such and such on health care, such and such on education. They don't even mention our names. Now, how on earth, Tom, in a poll where 50% are undecided, can the Tribune decide whose voices should be heard? I mean, I brought that up on the show. Yeah, you and I probably could go off on this forever, but
yeah.
The idea of what happened to Howard Dean, with the media replaying his scream speech 674 times, I brought this up on the City Desk program I just taped. Now the big concern is, does John Kerry use Botox?
Right.
It's just like Al Gore's, earth tones and love story and internet. And I tried to make this point to Dick Kay saying, don't you understand that the radio and cable TV feeds into mainstream coverage? And Democrats have been definitely on the losing end of this equation.
Yeah, and there's something larger at work here, and that's the issue of do we still have democracy in the United States when the media is owned by corporations? And you have back on January 28th in 1786, Thomas Jefferson wrote a letter to his friend James Curry, and he said, "Our liberty depends on the freedom of the press, and that cannot be limited without being lost." And back then, freedom of the press did not mean the freedom of one corporation to own all of the press. And they were very clear about that. And we had laws on the books clear up to the, up to the later part of the 19th century. And then FDR put them back into place and started reinforcing them. And even Jimmy Carter breaking up AT&T that said, a monopoly is not free enterprise.
Oh, absolutely. And they have so much power and control over democracy. As you've written the pivotal tome on this subject. So it is so important. And so here's my thing. What do you do about it? Your candidate, like me, when I go out, in fact, Dick Kay told me I go out to every debate with the rest of my fellow candidates, and modesty aside here, Tom, I whip the pants off of them.
I'm sure.
Because, I'm very knowledgeable about the issues and have been debating them and articulating them for years and years and years in the media. And so that's a skill set, really, that helps me on the stump. So I win the debates. People say, who are you? I've never seen you before. They're so excited that I tell the truth about this administration that I'm not afraid to tell the truth. I've never been afraid. I said, Democrats were so excited that Paul O'Neill finally told the truth. Mm-hmm. I thought Paul O'Neill was going to win the Iowa caucuses.
Yes.
Because we were just so happy that somebody had the guts to stand up and say, they were planning the war from the get-go.
A lot of Republicans were happy about that too.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a significant backlash among Republicans to George W. Bush.
Oh, with the budget and the spending.
Yeah.
So what do you do in my situation where you really do have the issues, and when people meet me and they hear me speak, they're converted and you've got my vote, but yet the media is, there's a player in my race, he's going to spend $40 million of his own money on this Senate race. $40 million. That's more than any of these presidential candidates are spending, and I'm in the race with him, and he gets all the coverage. The people that don't show up to any debates still get news coverage.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking of canceling my subscription, ripping it up to the Chicago Tribune and getting people all over, women especially, since the two women have been cut out of the process, to rip up their Tribune subscriptions. I mean, that's sort of your old-fashioned way of doing it, but...
Yeah.
But have you figured out
a way to cut through this? I mean, this beyond it being a rhetorical question, there's the real question here of how do you get past that what George Bush called the media filter? I mean, it's apparently a very real thing there.
Well, you know how I'm doing it? I do have a plan. And I have some 1,500 volunteers from all over the country who've signed up at my website, skinnerthewinner.com. And what we're doing is we got the entire voter file for the state of Illinois, voters who vote in Democratic primaries, so it's narrow casting. Instead of broadcasting, it's narrow casting. Mm-hmm. We call it Skinner casting.
There you go.
And we're having these volunteers just call, pick up the phone and make 10 phone calls or whatever you can a night saying, hey, I'd like to tell you about a candidate in your race for the U.S. Senate. She doesn't get the mainstream media coverage, and it's because of money, but she's got a great message. We'd like to send you an email, get their email address, and send you some information because we don't have the $40 million it takes to compete in this race, but we think you'd like her. And we're going to do that. We're with them. If 1,000-plus volunteers are making those calls, it's going to start to register because there are enough people like you and your program. So if you want to sign up for the Skinner Corps, go to my website. There's a volunteer page, skinnerthewinner.com. And then in terms of raising money, I've done some innovative stuff. I have the latest email campaign is 20 for 2,000. And it's $20 if you're not over election 2000. And it's a cute little banner graphic that has the 5 conservative Supreme Court justices on there. And then you donate and then you send that to your entire list, your email list. There's a tell a friend option. I'm getting donations from all over. I got a donation just yesterday from the actor Ken Olin. Remember from 30-something?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he lives in L.A. and he's directing a film, but it's just getting all over the Internet. And I had a 15 for 15 campaign, $15 for the 15th woman senator that was similar. I got donations from surgeons, women, to teachers, to homemakers.
That's great.
So this is the way we overcome the media.
Just keep it moving along there, Nancy. Let's talk and congratulations on pulling this together and I hope it's very successful. I've contributed to your campaign. I believe in you. I believe in your cause.
I didn't even have to badger you. You did it voluntarily.
I got one of those emails and I said, you know, this is God. I went and I looked at your website and of course I know your politics. I've listened to you on the radio for years and we know each other. And I said, this is a woman who's worth supporting. I mean, independent of the fact that I know you. Robert Reich raised a really good point in this op-ed here. And in the last 5 minutes of this segment here with you, I'd like to get your thoughts on this and just bring this out for our listeners. And that is his suggestion that the conservatives back, and he doesn't really do the history of it, but the history of it is it really started in 64 when Nelson Rockefeller got shouted down and booed at the Republican convention, and Barry Goldwater, you know, got up and gave his, you know, extremism and the defense of liberty is no vice speech. And the conservatives basically said, we ideologues are going to take over the Republican Party. And on the Democratic side...
They did.
Yeah, and they did, very successfully. And on the Democratic side, something very similar to that happened in 1932... And we lost our way after Truman and have not recaptured it. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that, if you see any direction, any movement in that direction, and if you consider yourself part of a grassroots movement to bring that back. And how do we define in narrow soundbite bumper sticker terms the clear issues beyond stuff like, you know, Bush lied and our troops died kind of things. Mm-hmm. But I mean things that are ideological, things that are at the core of issues rather than just at the surface of them.
Well, it was an excellent piece that he wrote, and if you haven't seen it, please go online. It's called The Dead Center, and I guess he's contesting this idea that's put out by the DLC that we should all just try to moderate, that the Democratic Party should be Republican light.
Right.
And that really has not served us. Even Bill Clinton, despite he had great personal charisma, but what did he do for the party? Where
he lost Congress in the midterm elections. I mean, you
that's
know,
right.
he, yeah.
And this is one of the central arguments, Tom, I make on the stump, on the campaign. I say, because everyone gets, all the candidates start saying, well, I love my wife and kids, and I think education's important. You know, all the kind of things Democrats have been saying. And I am saying to them and every other political operative who cares about the Democratic Party, wake up. It's not just, we got to figure out why we're losing. And why we're losing, I think Robert Reich spells this out. He says, one, we don't have big, bold ideas. Our message is muddled. He said we should have a campaign manager for the Democratic Party just to keep us on message. What is the message? When you look at the Republican Party, it's really clear. Low taxes, national security. I mean, those are the two things.
Well, and public morality.
And the and President Bush uses that is that whenever Ed Gillespie speaks now, they say that American people agree with our values. That nebulous poll tested phrase, they agree with our values. What they're trying to say is we're moral and the Democrats aren't. When I say to you Rorschach style Democrats, what do you think?
Well,
kind of whiny.
I don't actually. I think of FDR and I think of people standing up and fighting for workers' rights and for a fair democracy in the United States. I think of Thomas Jefferson, who founded the party.
Right. No, but I'm saying to the average person who's not a Democrat, what are they thinking? I agree with you, and I make it a part of my stump. I say, let's make Democrats proud to be Democrats again. And they joke about the liberals. I say, that liberal wimp FDR beat the Nazis and the Depression at the same time.
And the Republicans.
That liberal wimp, JFK, he stared down the Russians during the Cuban Missile Crisis. You know, if you want to take on liberalism, the force in this country that brought us the five-day work week, Social Security, Medicare, the clean air, clean water, and the two greatest periods of economic growth we've ever known, I say bring them on. I'm willing to take that debate on. And too few Democrats really are.
Yeah. So what can we do to get the Democratic Party to reorient itself in the last minute here we have here and move away from the DLC?
Well, you know, I've already applied for that position of campaign manager for the Democratic Party this morning. We need a message, big, bold ideas, and when we get around to this, I'll give you some ideas of new proposals for issues that can capture the imagination and actually withstand Republican attacks. I'd like to talk to you about some of those ideas and how we can stick to message and regain the majority.
Okay. Well, you want to stick around for another 5 minutes and just nail some of these things down?
Oh, yeah. Okay, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
That'd be great if I can, unless I'm bumping somebody else up.
No. That's fine. I've got some stuff I need to get to in this hour, but absolutely, let's do that. We've got, I think, 15 seconds here before we go to break. The article that Nancy is talking about is called The Dead Center by Robert Reich in the New York Times today. And this is just a core issue. It's the Democrats are in disarray, and in a large extent, Bill Clinton contributed to it. And what can we do about this? Nancy has some very specific ideas. We'll hear them after this break. This is Tom Hartman, our guest Nancy Skinner. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't. I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
Your right to vote. It's something that most Americans take for granted. But today, serious questions are being asked about how we vote. Machines are used to process 98% of the votes in U.S. elections, and that includes absentee ballots. How do we know if our votes are being counted correctly? Experts say we don't know, that machines conceal the voting process, that whoever controls the machines controls the election. What is the government doing to protect your right to vote? There is no federal agency that regulates or monitors the voting machine industry. There are no restrictions on who can make, sell, or service voting equipment. They don't even have to be U.S. citizens. And there are no mandatory federal standards for voting equipment. Even if there were, experts say that voting machines can be easily rigged and impossible to safeguard. I'm Lynn Landis. I'm an investigative journalist. Learn more about this issue at my website, ecotalk.org. That's ecotalk.org.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
And welcome back. You're in the real free speech zone. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our guest, Nancy Skinner, candidate for the United States Senate from Illinois. Nancy, you said that you have some clear, bold ideas. Hello? Hey, she's renegotiating. Okay, Nancy's dropped. Nancy will be back, hopefully. It's the wonders of technology, as you know. While we're waiting for Nancy, I just want to share with you this thing from Robert Reich. He said the real fight is between those who want to win back the White House and those who want to build a new political movement. This I think is at the core of this whole Democratic primary debate right now. Howard Dean started out creating a movement to revitalize the Democratic Party and take it in a completely new direction and say, here's a new set of values, a new set of standards. This is what we're all about. This is the definition of Democrat. And on the other hand, the Democrats who have been basically running Congress for the last, you could say going back to LBJ and before, I'd say basically since Jack Kennedy, have been increasingly moving to the right and increasingly saying, okay, we needed this cash, we need corporations, we need to get involved, we'll let them in, and they become she's back, okay, they become more and more the captives, the Democrats of the corporate America, and there's this battle going on for the heart and soul of the Democratic Party. And Nancy Skinner, welcome back.
Thanks. Thanks, Tom.
The wonders of technology.
Yeah.
You were talking about some very specific and clear ideas you had for revitalizing the democratic process and the Democratic Party. Talk about those.
Let me give you an example. Healthcare is one issue that certainly it's on the top of everyone's agenda. But the Democrats, remember Hillary's plan, Hillary Care, it was demonized.
Sure.
$170 million in commercial ads, Harry and Louise, as socialized medicine. It was ultimately killed, right?
Yeah.
So my plan takes into consideration the inevitable attacks on any plan that we put forward. My plan is called U.S. Choice for Healthcare. Now, get this. It's completely voluntary, and it would allow the government to compete with private health insurers to provide an affordable healthcare premium. How can they do that? Well, they don't have the enormous profit requirement that the private insurers do. The costs are much lower. The administrative cost of Social Security and Medicare are about 3% versus 25% in the private industry. And with the pool of risk so large, 43 million, it's going to be easy to cover. It's affordable to cover that many people. Now, how can the Democrats demonize Republicans demonize a program that's based on free market principles and competition, which is the bedrock of conservative ideology?
Well, the way
what
they'll say is, you know, what? The government competing in the marketplace? That's not fair.
Well, why? If they're good, if they're better than the government.
There you go. There you go.
That's the answer. Then why? If they can do it better,
I know.
But if the government can use their negotiating power to provide this more cheaply, that's why Canadian drugs are half the cost of U.S. drugs, because the government negotiates for everybody, and they use their market power to get a better program.
There you go.
This is the kind of approach that's completely different. And in every issue area, at my website, skinofthewinter.com, we take this completely different approach. This is the kind of thing that I think Democrats need to do in every area. So we're giving the American public something to hang their hats on. It's not just what's wrong with the Republicans, but how are the Democratic plans really going to make my life better?
Yeah, and that is a remarkable one. Nancy, we've got Bob in South Carolina here with a comment for you. I'm going to have to ask both of you to hold on over the break here, because we've got a break coming up in 10 or 15 seconds, and I doubt that Bob will be able to get his comment out or you to get your response back in that period of time. But this whole idea of Democrats taking back the Democratic Party is one that really excites me. I think this is so key to democracy. If you can hang on, Nancy, and Bob, if you can hold the line, we'll pick up both of you on the other side of this break.
All right.
Great. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. Truth in Broadcasting, a novel idea.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
A vast section of Lake Erie has run very short on oxygen, and that's bad news for the fish that live there. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. For the past several summers, the cold bottom water in the center of Lake Erie has had so little oxygen that people referred to it as a dead zone. The lack of oxygen drives out fish and other aquatic animals. Scientists say part of the reason this has happened in Lake Erie has to do with some of its unique qualities. But they say the problems in Lake Erie should also serve as a warning sign for the other Great Lakes. Jeffrey Reuter directs the Ohio Sea Grant Program in the Stone Laboratory at Ohio State University. Reuter says a dead zone can occur when urban wastewater and fertilizer from farm fields carry too much phosphorus into the water. The phosphorus produces huge blooms of algae, and that starts a process that robs the cold bottom waters of oxygen during the summer. Reuter says the Lake Erie watershed is different from those around the other Great Lakes, and that means it receives more sediment and more phosphorus.
The watershed around the other Great Lakes are all dominated by forest ecosystems. The watershed around Lake Erie is dominated by an agricultural and an urban ecosystem. And we also receive more sediment than the other Great Lakes, and much of that sediment comes in with agricultural fertilizers attached.
Lake Erie is the shallowest of the Great Lakes, and so it's more vulnerable to the dead zone conditions. But Reuters says other conditions in Lake Erie contribute to this problem, and they are common around the Great Lakes Basin. They include rising temperatures, falling lake levels, and invasive species such as zebra mussels. Reuters is concerned that Lake Erie is showing symptoms of problems that have yet to develop in the other Great Lakes. He hopes the U.S. and Canada will invest in more research to avoid them. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Nancy Skinner, our guest, candidate for the United States Senate in Illinois. And Nancy, you've got our chat room all stirred up here. Let's see. Kevin says Tom, let Nancy know one of her Skinner snoops is in the room. And Coach Glenn says, I like Nancy's website with a solutions link for specific answers to the Republicans' arguments. So you have some fans in there as well. We run a live chat room whenever we're on the air, and it's fascinating feedback. Let's go to Bob in South Carolina, 1-800-TALK-YES, our number if you have a comment or question for Nancy Skinner, 1-800-825-5937. And Bob, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Hi, Bob. Bob, boy, you're where all the action is in South Carolina.
That's right. I was at the debate last night.
Really?
Outside of the debate, actually. I was one of the knuckleheads swinging signs and cheering and raising hell in general.
Hey, good on you, Bob. What's up?
Tom, great show as usual. Nancy, you're the total package. Brains, looks, intelligence. I hope you win, man.
Yeah. Isn't she great?
Thank you.
I was turned on to an article by a Texas congressman, actually, Ron Paul. Are you familiar with him?
Yes.
He's actually a libertarian.
He
doesn't come to this administration from the liberal side. He's got a paper that's published on the libertycommittee.org website where he's taken a very clear, cold-eyed view of the neocons and what they're going to mean for our country. And again, he is not a neocon, and he is not for the neocons, but he can never be accused of being a liberal. And it's a rather long article, but it is.
Bob, can you get to the point?
It's terrifying, and I want everybody to read it.
Okay, Bob, you want to summarize it for us in 1 minute?
Well, perpetual war, American empire, going after the oil, we're going to take over the country, take over the world.
Yeah.
If you don't like us, screw us. We're coming after you.
Yeah, it's not like it's a secret. But Ron Paul sometimes does say some pretty profound things. Sometimes he's a little over the top. But Bob, thanks for the call. Nancy, your thoughts on that?
my thought is that it's ironic how the libertarians, how much I seem libertarian now all of a sudden. And I mean, there's a closeness in a way when it comes to civil liberties and the Patriot Act. And,
the problem is that the libertarians think that corporations should run our government.
Well, no, I'm not saying I'm a libertarian. There's a lot of things I disagree on. But I would say absolutely no. I believe the government has a role to make the people's lives better. In fact, absolutely. That's why we form the government for and by the people. But the idea that, for instance, this marriage initiative that President Bush proposed, $1.5 billion to promote marriage, and we've had some experience with that. This was just an extension of what they've already funded. They funded $300 million, and one of the programs down in Texas that was block granted was to promote abstinence among divorced people. That's what your taxpayers' dollars were going for.
Oh, but see, even worse than that, this is really a ruse for siphoning money through right-wing churches that support George Bush.
Yeah, well,
that's
Robertson
really
got
the bottom
a big
line.
Chunk of money.
Oh yeah, and Reverend Moon is getting money on this stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I think that with, well, especially the Patriot Act and the direction of our country, the isolationists, the traditional conservative isolationists are up in arms. So I'm just saying the ground between true conservatives and even some libertarians with the Democratic Party is getting less and less. The neocons have created sort of the worst of all worlds.
Yeah,
big spending, over-intrusive government, yeah. And they are, work at the behest of special interests and corporations.
Well, they've become really and truly the dictionary definition of fascist. I mean, fascism being, as Mussolini defined it, the merging of corporate and state interests. Well, Nancy, we've got a couple of calls on the line here for you. Roy and three of them, Rita in Pittsburgh, Roy in New Mexico, and Jim in Nashville. So let's start taking them here. Rita in Pittsburgh, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. Nancy Skinner.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Nancy.
Yeah, you're Rita. She's Nancy.
I just wanted to let you know that I try to listen to you in the mornings on Doug's show. And, it's hard because they've changed your time and everything, but I wish you well, and I sent money. And I know by listening to you that you were a Dean supporter. And maybe I missed the first part of the show. Did you discuss what you think Dean's chances are?
I think the problem again was the media. I talked about that when I was on taping a TV interview here today. Do you know they played that scream, Tom, 674 times?
Yeah.
And it's just like what they did to Al Gore with the love story, the internet. He was the front runner, and they went after him, and they got something they could work with, as you will inevitably. So, what do I think he could pull it out? You know, I never quit, or I wouldn't. You know, I just never give up. I think there are enough states that next Tuesday. Day and then in the ensuing months, that sure you could pull it out. He's only lost two. He gained momentum. I wouldn't quit. Are you kidding me? The problem is, I like John Kerry. I think he has great a military resume and a great record. But there's this indescribable thing called mojo or presence. You know what I'm talking about, Tom, right? And Kerry, I just don't think has the charisma to pull it off. I don't. It's just a factor in every election. And if he gets the nomination, I will fight harder for him than anyone else. I think the Republicans said they didn't want Howard Dean, that they wanted Howard Dean exactly because they didn't. You know how they
That's
say everything
right.
opposite
I
of
agree.
Way it is? And all their bills are named the opposite of what they are. And they'd say, oh, we want Howard Dean. Oh, yeah. They knew that he had that special sort of character that would be very tough to beat.
That's why they spent millions in Iowa. You know, the Club for Growth went in there and spent millions of dollars in these absolute character assassination ads against Howard Dean. And they were successful.
Yeah.
Nancy.
You don't think they were worried?
Rita. Mm-hmm. I am from Pittsburgh, and I like Kerry's wife. I've never really been very impressed with Kerry, but I'm afraid that just what you're saying, he's like as if he's half dead. Plus, he has followed Dean's ideas. I mean, Dean set the pace. And
well,
now
let's give him credit for learning something.
Yeah.
But why not go with the leader?
Yeah.
The person with the ideas. I just wish I had so much money that I could give him. I feel so bad because now he's got involved in that Joe Trippi thing. And from what I can understand, Joe was not a very good organizer. He was wonderful on the internet, but did not have the organizational skills that he needed. and now there's no money. I just feel so depressed about
the
whole
thing. Hey, don't give up, Rita. Don't give up yet.
Keep on fighting. There you go. Rita,
thank you for the call.
Thank
you for your support.
Yeah, and thanks for supporting Nancy. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, Roy in New Mexico. You're on the air with Tom Hartman and Nancy Skinner.
Good afternoon, Tom, and hello, Nancy, my favorite talk show hostess.
Oh, thank you, Roy.
I am so glad that your campaign is, you know, just to ignore you, I think that's making headway, isn't it?
You know, it's funny. Just the fact that I issued a press release saying I was the only one locked out of the Tribune's endorsement session, six of seven candidates, and I immediately got a slew of interview requests,
people wanting not to do
the same thing.
Would you, you know, because some of the folks, I listen to Doug every once in a while in the morning, and with all the confusion, I never know when you're going to be on. But pass along the quote about your slacks and your rebut in the debate. Being able to vote and
apparently you've got a good one there, Nancy.
Oh no, well just this was printed in the Sun Times yesterday. I was down, and this was a mixed forum: Republicans, Independents, and there's a Libertarian and two Democrats, and there's a retired general on the Republican side, and he just took this most gratuitous swipe at me. When it came around to him, he was asked some question, and he said, "Sometimes I think Nancy's running for the president or God or something." So here it comes around, and everyone gets the question, and I'm thinking, I got the little devil and little angel working, like, do I let it go? Do I rise above? But I'm so tired of being, you know, picked on, and I'm tough, Tom. You know it.
I know.
I'd hate for Democrats to get picked on. And so I came back and I said, well, General, for your information, they let women debate big, important topics now, like national security, and we don't even have to wear skirts anymore.
That's great.
That was how I woke up yesterday.
That's a good one. That's well done, Nancy.
Keep up the energy. Keep up the message. I don't have that many folks in the Chicagoland area anymore, but every one of them gets an email once a week and says, hey, go get up and behind support this gal. Me and the wife did the 15 for 15 on
Roy.
What's his name? And just keep up the energy. Keep up the
join my Skinner Corps, where you call people. You sign up, and we'll give you 10 names to call a night.
I will do it.
SkinnerTheWinner.com is the website.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you, Roy. We still have Jim and Holly and Darvin here on the line. Jim in Nashville, you're on the Tom Hartman program live with Nancy Skinner.
Hi, Nancy. Hi, Tom.
Hello, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
I've sent you money, Nancy.
Oh, my God, this is great.
I want to see you do it. Did anyone hear the Joe Trippi interview with Deborah Norville?
I heard
it did last night.
Well, you know, he said how much he loved Howard Dean.
Yes.
And how much, you know, that he thought of the man. And, you know, he said in a comment that I've been thinking about ever since I've heard it, that he thought that he was the only man, the last chance, that can save this country,
mm-hmm.
that can save our democracy. And I believe that. I just hope that everybody just don't turn your back on Howard Dean. The man is going to win, and I believe that this is going to be a campaign of attrition. And the man is raising $17,000-$18,000 an hour. My wife is at home writing letters. She's already written over 200 letters for him. And she's just watching his website left and right. And he's raising money. So to Rita that called, he's raising money.
Great.
And so anyway, good luck to you, Nancy. And thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Jim.
The Joe Trippi interview, the way that you would hear that, it's like, oh, this nasty man has fired Trippi and they hate each other. And then Trippi was crying, saying how deeply he felt about this man and this race. And, you know, it was nothing like you would think it was or it was portrayed as.
Yeah, and what was amazing to me was before that came up, there was, and it might have been on a different network because we were sort of channel surfing last night. I think it might have been on MSNBC, a setup for one of the right-wingers like Scarborough. There was this thing about how, you know, Howard Dean trashes Joe Trippi and Joe Trippi will reveal how, you know, Howard Dean is really a bozo or, you know, whatever. And then Deborah Norville has that interview, and it's like, holy cow, that was brilliant. Jim in Nashville. Oh, that was Jim in Nashville. Let's go to Holly in Santa Fe. Hey, Holly, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You're on the air with Nancy Skinner.
Thank you. Hi, Nancy.
Nancy,
hi,
I wondered if you have gotten any feedback from the statement that your morning show partner said Thursday, I guess yesterday morning, that if John Kerry ran, that he would vote for George Bush.
Boy, did we hear about that here.
Did you hear about that? You know, and he said that he thought that he could vote for George Bush if they just got rid of his cabinet and surrounded him with some ethical people. That he just really, you know, was being misguided and bogged down by all these, he didn't use the word crook. And it was like, I thought, well, so it's like the crown prince where, you know, he sort of has this divine right to rule, but we just need to surround him with good people. But anyway, I wondered if, you know, and of course you weren't there to rebut, and I almost ran off the road.
I bet. We got Tom on this morning to talk about it. We called Doug and me during the show, called Tom. That's how I ended up and say, hey, what, I'm going to be on your show.
Mm-hmm.
That's why this came about. Doug is a terrific person. He's a great guy, but I wouldn't really worry about anything he says like that, because he can change his mind. And in fact, by the end of the conversation with Tom, he had already said, okay, well, I'll reconsider that. Sometimes he just says things. He has become, it's really been a very interesting development with Doug Steffen. I started on his show 3 years ago. And at that time, well, when I first started in radio 7 years ago, it was just all right wing everywhere. There were no Tom Hartons. There were no Mike Malloys. I was in the cult.
The wasteland.
And, it was, really. And so when I joined Doug's show as a liberal voice, he had the courage to say, you know, we need to shake this up, and it's getting stale. We lost a few stations down south because they were like, well, doesn't sound like you like George Bush. It's not that I don't like George Bush, ma'am. It's just that I disagree with him. And it's just, but how can you be on the radio if you don't like George Bush? You know, that kind of... So Doug got a lot of guff. We ended up doubling our listenership. So we're over 400 stations. When I started, we were about 200.
Yeah.
So we've done much better as a diverse show. And Doug, I think, in just listening to my arguments day in and day out, has moved from diehard Republican to pretty progressive as a person.
He thinks he's a libertarian. He just doesn't understand what the libertarians actually stand for. Holly, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Darvin in Georgia, you're on the air with Nancy Skinner and Tom Hartman.
How you doing today, Tom?
Good. What's up?
Yeah. Well, I'm a truck driver, over the road truck driver. Right now I'm in Madison, Wisconsin. I don't know how they got Georgia, but whatever. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
I want to know, I'm with Howard Dean 100%. We've given him money before, and you guys, nobody give up on him.
Yeah. Agreed.
Well, he spent the money. So what? We're going to send more money.
There you go.
I'm not from Illinois either, but I sent money to Nancy Skinner.
Good on you.
More.
Good
Thank
on you.
You. My goodness, every one of the callers has sent me money.
Yeah.
Well, this is real time.
I've never seen him, but my wife says your picture on the net is great. Says you're
a really
good-looking girl.
Yeah,
I don't
she
care
is.
About that. I like what you stand for. We're going to send you more money.
Okay,
well
done.
Thank you.
See, it's all these plugs I've been giving you, Nancy. 1-800-TALK. Darvin, thanks for the call. 1-800-TALK. Yes, Jesse in Georgia. We got here comes the break. Darvin, Jesse, hang on. We'll pick up your call on the other side of this break. Nancy, stay on. Stay on, and all of you who are listening, stay tuned. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We will be back.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Ah!
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine and want to do well by our earth. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
Who's on the newsmaker line? George W.?
I thought maybe you could ask me some of them questions.
Oh, okay. In the past, it appeared that Kucinich supported the global gag rule that you have enforced. What's your position on that?
Vice President Cheney assures me that the gag rule is very important in case I say something stupid.
Oh. What do you have in mind for the Middle East and the situation in the Korean Peninsula?
Gonna kill him.
You're gonna kill him, okay.
Gonna kill him.
Are you interested in an in-depth inquiry into the missing weapons of mass destruction?
Weapons of mass production are there. We found two trailers. Now, my daddy has an Airstream, so I know about trailers.
Yeah.
And if they roll over on a little car or something, there's a lot of destruction there.
Yeah, I see. Okay.
They flip over in those desert winds.
Yeah.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Ban ji la is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Ban ji la.
You know everything. Xie xie. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Us, and them.
And welcome back. It's Talk Radio for the rest of us. Our program today produced by Louise Hartman here in Vermont, engineered in Detroit by Steph Stryker and John Lucas. Thank you to you both. Our music edited by Brad Walrod in New York City. And thanks especially to the folks who showed up in our chat room for the day. We're on the air here now with Nancy Skinner. Jesse and George is on the line. Hey, Jesse, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, Tom. How you doing today?
Great. What's up?
I'm just another one of the many thousands of Vietnam-era veterans that are just highly, highly hacked because Terry is using all the Vietnam veteran and the veterans' things to pump up his campaign.
Hmm.
A fellow named Terry L. Garlick wrote a piece in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution yesterday, page 8, A15. Terry was a Cobra helicopter pilot in Vietnam, and he, like myself and many other Vietnam veterans, are just incensed because Kerry says he's a Vietnam veteran. Let me read you a couple of excerpts.
Well, no, Jesse, I'm sorry. We don't have time for you to be reading anything. We only got about a minute and a half here, and I wanted Nancy to have the last word.
I don't think there's anything wrong with him using his military background. We all use what we bring, our life experiences, to this quest we call public service. And I think he risked his life, and he should be proud of that. I don't understand that comment. I'm sorry. I think that we need, as Democrats, to focus even more so on security and supporting our...
Let me make the comment.
Okay, Jesse. Quick.
He came back when the United States had protested against the war with the financial aid of Jane Fonda. He wrote a book called The New Soldier, which was pro-Hanoi. He publicly supported Hanoi's position to use our POWs as a bargaining chip in negotiations for a peace agreement.
I'm sorry, Jesse. It's, you know... This is the kind of character assassination stuff that, it doesn't ring true to me. And, you know, it sounds like, you know, right-wing crank stuff.
Just because I support Howard Dean doesn't mean I'm going to do that sort of character assassination on anyone else. We got to stick together, folks, as Democrats, come up with a plan, new ideas, fight. It is not going to be by tearing each other down.
There you go. Well said. Thank you for being on the program today, Nancy. I truly appreciate it.
Again,
SkinnerTheWinner.com.
Thank you, Tom.
Right. Thanks, Nancy. This is Tom Hartman's. Thank you for being with us today. Tune in tomorrow, same time, or tune in Monday, same time, same place.
It's coming from a field, but this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.